Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today's Wednesday, June 10th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, seven people were shot, one of them fatally, in the courtyard of a Philadelphia Housing Authority apartment complex in Spring Garden late Tuesday night. Police said more than 50 shots were fired from at least two guns when gunfire erupted shortly before midnight on the 600 block of Perth Place. Authorities believe there was an exchange of gunfire at the scene. Six men and one woman was shot, all in their 20s, with the exception of a 58-year-old man. Bullets struck homes and at least four parked cars. A large amount of cash was seen thrown across the ground. Dice and guns were left behind. Philadelphia Police Chief Inspector Scott Small says because there was so much cash laying in the courtyard, they're trying to determine if this was a robbery. But at this time, they don't know the motive for the shooting. Police arrived at the scene within minutes, and victims showed up at Temple University Hospital and Jefferson Hospital on their own. Of the surviving victims, a 22-year-old man is still in critical condition, and five others are stable. When police were investigating the crime scene, they discovered a man's body in the 600 block of North 8th Street. He was pronounced dead on the scene at around 2:20 a.m. There are cameras in the neighborhood, and police are trying to determine if these cameras recorded anything that could help them in their investigation.
Think of 50 shots. Think of a gunfight you've seen in a movie or a television show, and how many shots are exchanged and how long that lasts. You know, I mean, that's just insane.
It's a lot, right? One person died and another was injured after two tractor trailers filled with powerful fireworks triggered a series of explosions in Zionsville, Lehigh County on Tuesday afternoon. Two trailers filled with fireworks somehow caught fire on a property as the homeowner and another man were inside. Explosions could be heard throughout the area, and a nearby shed also caught fire. Wow. Fireworks could be seen going off as heavy smoke filled the sky from the blast. With explosions still active, three people actually ran up to pull out one of the victims.
Oh.
Yeah, the mangled metal from the tractor trailers was still smoking on the ground when crews arrived. There was no immediate word on what caused the explosion. The ATF is assisting in this investigation, and police have not identified the victim that was killed in the blast.
Any idea what they were doing with tractor trailers full of fireworks?
I don't know. No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you like, I mean, there's video of it too. Like, you can just see the fireworks going off.
So, growing up on Long Island, they're out on the eastern part of Long Island, the Garucci, I've done the parody on, you know, the Magrucci Fireworks Company, but they had a testing facility where they put together their fireworks. And I think once or twice there were explosions. But that was at a fireworks place.
Yeah, this is somebody's house.
Yeah.
This is their property. I'm looking at the photos of it right now, and it looks like a bomb went off, as you would imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Police in Delaware County are looking for a black bear spotted Tuesday morning roaming through a man's backyard in Upper Chichester Township. The bear was seen in a wooded area of Garnet Mine Road. A resident says that he was getting ready for work at about 7 a.m. when he heard his dog barking. He looked out the window and saw the bear in his yard.
Dog,
the bear walked
up
the driveway and then down into the woods. About 2 miles down Garnet Mine Road, about 90 minutes earlier, Bethel Township Police Department got a similar call about a bear spotting near Clayton Park.
Dog.
Police Chief Thomas Sharp said the area is becoming more residential and the bears have nowhere to go. Sharp said that he contacted the Pennsylvania Game Commission about the spotting, and he asked anyone else who sees this bear to do the same thing.
No way.
I used to live over that way.
Yeah.
Never saw any bears.
No.
That time.
No.
Is it the same one?
Because the bear. They
never caught that bear, right?
They never caught that bear.
No, yeah. And in fact, they feel that he's integrated himself into society. He might be your coworker.
Yeah.
It's quite possible.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Oscar Lindblom was voted by the Professional Hockey Writers Association as the Flyers nominee for the 2020 Bill Masterton Memorial Trophy, an award given annually to the player who best exemplifies and qualifies of perseverance, sportsmanship, and dedication to ice hockey. The 23-year-old forward was diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma in mid-December. Lindblom continues to uplift the Flyers' spirits with his presence and positivity despite his battle with cancer. In March, his teammate Matt Niskanen said, "He's fantastic. Every time he shows up, the guy never stops smiling." Major League Baseball Players Association made a proposal to MLB for a season of 89 games with a full prorated share of salary and expanded playoffs. It would bring both sides closer to a potential deal because it is 25 games fewer than the union's most recent proposal of 114 games. Both sides seem to agree that there will definitely be a baseball season, but unless there's an agreement by next week, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred will be forced to implement a shortened season. According to one high-ranking team executive, if it reaches that point and if we don't get an agreement real soon, this is going to be ugly, real ugly, and it's just going to get worse. And in tennis news, Roger Federer will be out of competitive tennis until the start of the 2021 season because of a setback in his recovery from surgery on his right knee. The 20-time Grand Slam champion issued a statement to confirm he'll be out of action for the rest of 2020 because he had to have an additional procedure on his knee. The French Open, originally scheduled for May, was postponed to September, and Wimbledon was canceled for the first time since World War II. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. Wednesday is what we have before us, and welcome to it. We have a number of things that are taking place this morning. We're going to start off with you actively picking up your phone and texting because we have a secret text word today. We have your chance to win a $50 Uber Eats gift card. It's very easy to do. You text the word secret to 39333. We send a word back to you, and later we'll ask you to call in with the word. The designated caller wins that. And then if you can't be around with us later on, you still got a chance to win because we'll grab a random texter and give away a $50 Uber Eats gift card to them. So get on that. Wednesdays also mean Fox Good Day, so it's TV time. We'll do that later on as we get closer to 8 o'clock. And we have a guest on the show today, the lovely Mary Lou Henner will be on. She's been here before, and she probably remembers it.
Probably remembers every aspect of it.
Because her memory is incredibly sharp. It's like right next to photographic. She's in, and she's great. She's going to be a part of the Bucks County Playhouse's virtual variety show, which is coming up Sunday, and we will talk with her about what all that means and what they're going to be doing. So we'll check in with her around 9 o'clock today. And we also have the next to last school to choose for the coolest teacher. But before we do that, we have to award our mug to yesterday's winner. And we had drawn at random Kennett High School and asked the students to text in and tell us who they thought stood out in the past year as far as the faculty goes. And we have a name. So we are happy to announce, and I'm going to butcher his name because it's a tough one to pronounce, that the winner for Coolest Teacher of the Year at Kennett High School is, I'm going to do my best here, Mr. Michael Ripogli.
Yes! Michael Ripogli.
Or Ripogli.
Ripogli.
Or Ripogl. I'm not sure.
It's or pierogi.
It's R-E-P-L-O-G-L-E.
I think you hit it.
Or Ripogl. Okay. It could be Ripogl. He's going to have to call us. All right. We will never get this right, and I want to hear from him. He is an earth and space and environmental science teacher at Kennett High School. So, and we have some questions we can ask. Yeah. If he does earth and space and environmental science, that's pretty cool. But he was voted the Brandywine Red Clay Alliance 2017 Teacher of the Year for using the outdoor classroom to inspire and empower students. So he likes to get out of the classroom.
One of my favorite teachers was an earth science teacher, Mr. Hasegawa, in ninth grade.
Isn't it amazing that you remember that? You know,
I did. That shows you, right?
Yeah.
So we have two more to go. Whose turn is it today?
It's me.
It's Casey's turn. All right, he gets to choose. What school is up next? We wrap this up with our final drawing on Thursday, and then Friday we award the last coolest teacher of the year. Okay.
All right.
Who's it going to be?
What's it going to be, boy?
Yes.
Or Penn Salkin High School.
Hey, Penn Salkin High School. We're going to have your opportunity to let us know. Penn Salkin High School and Penn Salkin Township, New Jersey. It's very simple. You just text the word teacher to 39333. That's it. We send you a voting link and you take it from there. So Make sure you let everybody at the school know that this is what we have going on, and we want to find out who it's going to be, and we'll do it around this time tomorrow morning. So there you go. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment, and we'll get to the entertainment news, and we'll give away some stuff with a stupid question, so don't go far. We'll be right back.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hey, our coolest teacher
what?
Is up and has called us. So we get to talk to him right away. And it was Kennett High School that we had asked yesterday to tell us who they thought the coolest teacher of the year was. And it turns out it is this gentleman. And I think I have the pronunciation of his name. I'm not sure. We'll find out 100% in a moment. But please welcome Michael Replogle to the show this morning. Hey, is it Mr. Replogle?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
We got it.
You close anyway.
Pretty close. All right. Well, how would you say it?
Replogle.
Replogle. Right.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay. Approximately, Michael, about how many times that your name is said for the first time to someone, do they get it right? Like 1 out of 10, 1 out of 8?
It's probably 1 out of 25.
Yeah, there you go.
So you did quite well.
It's your cross
you
to bear.
You guys did okay.
Oh, thanks, man. Hey, listen, first of all, congratulations. The kids obviously think a lot of you. And were you aware that you potentially could win this award?
When I got the phone call from somebody at 6:20 or 6:15, that yes, I was aware that I might win the award.
Oh, yeah, no other clue.
Well, nice. Well, that says a lot.
Yes.
He didn't campaign. The students voted
humble,
for him. That's pretty cool.
Man of the people.
You are a teacher of Earth and Space and Environment Sciences?
I teach two different courses. I teach Earth and Space Science, the freshman, and then I have an AP Environmental.
Okay, and where did you go to school, by the way?
I got my teacher training at Westchester. Originally, I went to Penn State.
Okay. See, Westchester generates a lot of teachers. Kathy was saying that it's a good school for teaching.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Nice. And you've been at Kennett for how long?
Just finished my 22nd year, 23rd year, somewhere around there.
Wow, that's awesome.
Were students this year able to take the AP exams?
Yeah, they took them online. If they wanted to take them, they took them online. Yeah, so a lot of my kids took them online.
And do they still get college credit if they do well on the on those exams?
The way that they set it up, and AP, I guess, did a good job of reaching out to universities, and the university said that the way that they had it set up, that they would still accept them for college credit. Yeah.
How about those tests administered? Obviously, you can't have a proctor. You can't have somebody overseeing the thing. How did you guys do it?
No, well, they came out and said that, you know, they can't really, you know, check you whether you're looking stuff up or not. So they did a lot of stuff that where it was open note and open book and open resource.
All right.
The way that they designed the questions, it wasn't like you could look it up in a book and find the answer and write it down.
Okay, I got you. So interesting year, probably one of the more interesting in your career, I would imagine.
Without question. Yeah, I went to the classroom yesterday, and it was walking back into something that was just like a town that was completely deserted.
Like going into Chernobyl,
right? Yeah.
Pripyat.
That's exactly what I thought of, because it was like everything was exactly the way we left it on Friday, March 13th. There was stuff on the board. You know, I had plants growing and fish tanks going, and there was all kind of stuff everywhere.
Were the fish alive?
No.
They were dead?
At the bottom of the tank.
They were at the bottom of the tank.
Oh.
Yeah.
God rest their souls.
Thank God you didn't have puppies in there.
Yeah, right. We did have a bat flying around somewhere, I think. But
okay.
All right.
Well, listen, Michael, on behalf of the students, we are going to give you a commemorative mug. It says the President Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year, and it's just a thank you from the students who clearly you've connected with.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Excellent. All right. Well, have a great summer. Let's hear it for Mr. Replogle, who is of Kennett High School. And we have two more to go. The school that was chosen this morning by Casey, Pennsauken High School in Pennsauken Township, New Jersey. So you just text the word teacher to 39333, and then we'll send you the voting link. And we'll find out tomorrow who's going to get the exact same treatment. All right, I have a stupid question I'm going to pose to you. We're going to give away a digital download of the pulse-pounding thriller, Becky. And the question that I have for you this morning concerns basketball. So here is the question. What major scoring change was introduced by the American Basketball Association in 1967 to 68?
Interesting.
Major scoring change was introduced in the 67-68 season. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. I'm going to go through some birthdays today while we are awaiting that answer. Today is Wednesday, June 10th. It is Elizabeth Hurley's birthday today.
Yeah. Actress. Looking great.
And model.
They keep posting shots of her. She's in her, in her 50s, right?
She's 55.
Yeah, 55. Yeah.
They've been posting pictures of her lately?
Yeah. I guess she had done a lot of shots, a lot of bathing suit stuff, and she's in phenomenal shape.
All right. I don't mind taking a look there. F. Lee Bailey.
Yeah, him.
Celebrity defense attorney.
He was on the OJ Dream Team.
Okay.
Was he?
Yes, he was.
87 today, by the way.
Wow.
Tara Lipinski. I had to go back and look her up because I remember the name from, figure skating. She was an Olympic gold medal winner. And I forgot, I had a little bit of a crush on Tara
Lipinski.
Did you? She's really cute, yeah. She is 38, and in 1998, she won a gold medal.
She was born in Philly. I never knew that.
What?
Yeah, she, there's a lot of training down in Delaware. They have world-class facilities in Newark, I think, near the university. But she was born right here in Philly.
That's right. I actually saw, what was his name, Elvis Stoiko?
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw him at the Granite Run Mall one time.
No way.
I swear to God.
Was he wearing an outfit?
It's good to see you.
It was wild. It was very weird.
He was like a rock and roll figure skater.
Well, and
he
at the time, he was in the spotlight. He was, it was his time. And I was like,
help me out, bro. Is there a Sparrows in here?
Elvis Stoiko. All right. So, Tara Lipinski is 38. Lily Sobieski, the actress.
I always liked her.
Yeah.
She's on every other day in the movie Deep Impact.
Yeah, that's right.
They show that thing all the freaking time.
37. Jean Triplehorn.
Yeah.
Who was in Basic Instinct. She played the wife.
Yeah.
To Michael Douglas.
Waterworld.
She was also in The Firm. She played Tom Cruise's wife in that one.
Big Love.
That's correct.
And she was also Ben Stiller's, for years, his girlfriend. They thought they were going to get married, yeah.
Okay, she's 57. You have Prince Philip, Queen Elizabeth's husband, 99 years old today.
Just about to break the one century mark.
That is correct. And an interesting peek into his life in the show The Crown, which I never really knew much about Prince Philip at all. Now, I would imagine they stayed fairly close to factual stuff.
It seems they did,
There's some things that they kind of fill in the gaps with, but I was really not aware of his story, and it was interesting. So he's celebrating his 99th birthday.
Is he still driving for NASCAR?
He is, yes. He's going to retire next year when he hits the century.
He's really great behind the wheel.
Shirley Alston of the Shirelles, as in this song, Will You Love Me Tomorrow? She's celebrating her 79th birthday today.
I can listen to stuff like this periodically.
Me too.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm going to get to the hook here.
But will you love me tomorrow?
This is one of those bands that would end up on the Geeters thing at the Kimmel Center, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And Shirelles would be there.
Pots and pans.
I was just listening to some Smokey Robinson day before yesterday. The windows down. It cranked way up. It was Shop Around. I'm like singing at the top of my lungs.
That's one of my favorites.
I love that stuff. So she's 79 today. Jimmy Chamberlain, drummer of the Smashing Pumpkins, had a falling out. I think he had a little bit of a chemical issue.
That was
addiction.
The word. Yeah.
And he's gotten his life back together, and he and Billy have patched things up, and they jammed together again. He is 56
The one
today.
Thing he plays.
Yeah, just that little drum roll over and over.
Very good at this part.
Yes.
Jimmy, can we talk to you for a second? Is there anything else? Anything else you know?
You know,
I'm good at this.
You're a creative
Oh,
guy.
You're great. Yeah. Oh, you're great. But we, maybe for some other songs, we do something different. Well, can I practice? Yeah, oh, God, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
No, play it out a little bit so people can hear what you're playing here. So. Casey keeps restarting it, so that's just the beginning to the song. It's Cherubrock, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it's a great song. So Jimmy is 56 years old today. It's Kate Upton's birthday.
Oh!
There we go.
Kate Upton is 28 years old. The funny moment with her... she acts a tiny bit, right?
Yeah. And she's not bad.
She was in, and I know it's, you know, there's a Three Stooges movie, okay?
Yeah.
She plays a nun.
Yeah.
And
at
the end of it, they have her,
that habit?
They have her in a nun bikini and habit thing. It's her body is just out of this world.
She gets out of the pool.
Yeah, yeah. It's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
You never saw that?
Yeah.
I forgot.
It's hilarious.
She's in a movie with Cameron Diaz. It's The Other Woman. And it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Who else is in it?
Leslie Mann.
It's funny.
Was she the one that dated a hockey player?
No, baseball.
Baseball player. Yeah, married to Justin Verlander.
And wasn't she like down on her knees? Oh, maybe it was at a hockey game.
Down on her knees? Do tell.
I thought it was her. She looked like she was performing on him at a game. Oh. They were in some sort of suite or club box or something like that.
And Nick's nodding.
And also they have a sex tape that was leaked as well. They're still together. So
was it a sex tape or just pictures in the bathroom?
No, there was
really?
Video. Yeah, Kate Upton and Justin Verlander, and it's out there. You know, it's one of those things that got leaked. Remember, there was that hack that happened a few years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a part of that.
Oh, I don't remember the tape. I remember about all the pictures. Yeah,
that when we learned about Hope Solo's butthole that was in all
that hacking
that took place. Maybe.
Yeah.
All right.
But Kathy, you're right. Like they were messing around at a game. It was some sporting event. It wasn't like explicit stuff, but they were fooling around.
Yeah, but there, and like some picture came out of them. Yeah.
Oh. She's 28, and then the last birthday I saw, our buddy Bill Burr.
Bill Burr
is 52 years old today.
We put him in a helicopter once. We did that live broadcast at Audubon.
He was also in The Mandalorian.
That's right.
Was he?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he had a guest role in the Mandalorian.
52 today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. In the game of basketball, what major scoring change was introduced by the American Basketball Association in the 1967-68 season? 215-263-WMMR is the number, and I am going to go to Andrew. Andrew, good morning.
Hey, am I on the air?
Yeah. Sick. Well done, sir. All right, what scoring change did they do in 1967?
Was it a three-point line?
Yes, it was the field goal, three-pointer. Yeah.
Yeah!
Hang on, Andrew. Get your info, and we shall set you up with a digital download, pulse-pounding thriller, Becky, starring Lulu Wilson, Kevin James and Joel McHale. When a rebellious teen goes on a weekend getaway with a father, a group of convicts wreak havoc on their lives, forcing an epic fight for survival. Stream it instantly on Redbox On Demand today, and that is rated R. All right, we'll jump right into the George Floyd funeral. He was laid to rest in Houston, Texas. Floyd's private funeral was held at the Fountain of Praise Church, and he was later buried at the Houston Memorial Gardens next to his mom in Pearland, Texas. At the service, George's daughter Gianna was escorted to church by her mom Roxy during the prayer of comfort, and a number of celebrities were on hand. Floyd Mayweather, who I believe
he paid for everything
for the services.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx, Channing Tatum, Kathy Taylor were all in attendance. Former Vice President Joe Biden also sent a video message to the family. Neo and gospel singers Nikita Fox and Minister Kurt Carr also performed, and during the eulogy, Reverend Al Sharpton called for changes that can prevent the deaths of more black people.
Neo did a cover of Boys to Men, and it was
it good?
It was spot on.
All right,
it was really good. Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow, Hilary Swank, and Julia Roberts are among the actors, authors, fashion designers, athletes, and politicians sharing their social media platforms today with black celebrities on what's called Share the Mic Now. It's a hashtag. It's a social media campaign. White women with large followings are handing over the reins of their platforms to magnify the voices of black women. Endeavor CMO, Bazoma St. John launched the movement with St. John. Also best-selling authors Louie Ajayi Jones and Glennon Doyle and fashion designer Stacey Bendit. The push is part of a larger conversation in the U.S. As the U.S. grapples with the repercussions of police brutality and systemic racism. The Share the Mic Now organizers say the campaign had four stated goals: to form a social media campaign that magnifies black women's lives and stories, to form relationships among black women and white women so that our future activism is born from relationships, to create a network of disruptors who know and trust each other, and to create action that could make change. Some of the swaps were fashion beauty editor Kalana Barfield Brown will work with Julia Roberts. Actress and transgender activist Angelica Ross will work with Hillary Swank. And Mama Glow founder Latham Thomas will work with Gwyneth Paltrow. Human rights activist Opal Tometi will work with Ashley Graham. And St. John will work with Kourtney Kardashian. So they're sharing their following.
They're exposing them to a larger audience. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what
they're doing. Exactly. Now, Bachelor Nation stars and fans are uniting to call on the ABC franchise to diversify its ranks. Rachel Lindsay got the ball rolling on June 5th. She announced that she would no longer be associated with the show if it didn't diversify. Lindsay is, as many know, the only black lead in Bachelor Nation's history. She suggested diversifying things in on-screen and behind the scenes. Tyler Cameron, Sienne Fleming, and Lauren Burnham are among those calling on the franchise to change its tune. I assume they are former... I don't know if they were the former leads or not. It's been on for 18 years, yeah, and I can't...
And as you've probably gathered at this point, we don't religiously watch the show.
Yeah, a change.org petition has been created. The campaign has received well over 55,000 signatures. It's asking for the lead of season 25 to be a black man and ask that people of color to make up at least 35% of contestants each season. So you can find that petition online. Well, if you think you've seen enough of Chris Cuomo after his much publicized contraction of coronavirus, think again. The CNN anchor has apparently was caught in the nude in the garden of his Hamptons mansion during a social media yoga session filmed by his wife, Christina Cuomo.
Wait, so was he doing nude yoga?
He was standing outside naked. So they have a house in Southampton. So he's kind of in the background. And you can see, you don't see frontal.
No, you just see
like the side and back of his body.
And even his crack is obscured by a line in the window.
But
it's perfectly placed.
But he was naked.
Yeah.
All right, listen.
That's fine, but
he's
just
in good shape.
It's just funny. Yeah, he is in good shape.
How much of your day is spent naked?
Shower time.
Right? Shower time. The second I am fully dry, I put clothes on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the second... Like, lower half of my body is dry enough to get some underwear
clothes
on.
Clothes go on.
Clothes go on.
How was it before you had kids running around?
Same way. I am ashamed of my body, Preston. I am ashamed that I need to cover it up with fabric as fast as possible.
Not me. I would hang around.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, no.
Rochelle walks around naked all the time.
I got to come over more
often.
Yes,
you do.
Just knock on their door and go in. Somebody will be in their underwear naked.
I mean, there have been times earlier on, but I know the cats talk, and I don't want them. I don't want them. That's the
if there's a house full of kids or even just a house full of people, it's not something you can do. But even like, I mean, Steve, you know, like even out in the Hamptons, like I can picture it in my head where they probably are. You know, it's very secluded. There's a lot of like shrubbery and bushes around houses and tucked away. So
his place is absolutely remote. And the wife is doing the thing. We're going to get more of this stuff.
Like when we're on vacation and if I happen to have a really nice kind of, no one can see us, even outdoor deck or whatever, I'm going out there naked, dude.
Hell yeah.
Well, absolutely.
We were in Turks and Caicos and we had the hotel was laid out that each room had its sort of secluded little pool area.
Love it.
I was skinny dipping was the rule.
There you
all the
go.
Time.
Yeah.
The running joke in my house that in between my son and my girlfriend is that my son will just turn to Andrea and say, well, my dad's naked again. And especially when on vacation, because it's just like, it's freeing, and who the hell cares?
Try it, Case.
No, I won't do it.
You've become a sitter? No. You wipe your butt sitting down now?
I can't do it. Listen, okay. When I get out of the shower, like, I got to go to the mirror to do the Q-tips and stuff like that. I can't even.
I don't like.
Close your eyes.
I can't even make eye contact with myself in the mirror.
I'm with you.
I hate my body so much.
I hate everything. I my wife sit on the toilet when I'm shaving and out to the left, to the left, to the left, to the right. So I don't have to look in the mirror.
Come on, man. Be like Lizzo. Embrace yourself.
Yeah, I can't. Press. I'll tell you what.
Do your hair toss. Check your nails.
No. It's like a mental illness. Wow. Like it's. I can't. I
Baby, how you doing?
There's something. I want to laugh that Preston is reciting these lyrics, but I want to counsel Casey a little bit.
Kathy, listen to me. One of my lowest points in my life was there was a couple of summers ago where I did the tour to shore, okay? I rode my bike from Philadelphia to Atlantic City. I got in a car. I drove up to New Hampshire, and the very next day, I climbed Mount Washington.
Yes.
I got down from Mount Washington. I went to the lodge. I got in the shower. I took a shower. I got out of the shower, and I looked in the mirror, and I was like, you fat mother effer. And I was like, after all of that, even though that body just did all of that and accomplished all of that in less than 2 days.
I wouldn't have done all that.
Yeah. And I looked at myself in the mirror and I immediately hated myself.
I'm sorry to hear.
Listen, it is what it is. That's why, like, when people say stuff on social media, I'm like, you have no idea the damage that you're doing right now. You have no effing clue. It's terrible. It's really, really terrible.
Preston has the floor right now. Okay. Go ahead.
Preston.
Now, I
can't be naked.
I don't mean this.
Don't say anything. You're not going to help.
Casey believes you're not going to help.
But why do you make videos of you in your underwear bouncing around and stuff like
it
that?
It is. It's a defense mechanism.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah,
I know why. Right. He's beating you to the chase.
Yeah. Okay,
he's going to take ownership of it. I understand every aspect of that, Casey. I would say a good lead would be Bert Kreischer.
Yeah,
because Bert Kreischer is, and you know what? There are people who would never do what you do, who admire you for doing what you do. And, so regardless of what your body may look like, your body got you to do those incredible achievements.
Exactly.
So whatever's happening
and
raising
that.
A wonderful family and all that stuff, it doesn't matter. I understand it.
Totally understand it.
It doesn't matter, though. You need to understand.
And you know what's so funny about that, Press? When I do those videos and stuff like that, the joke is I'm fat. That's the joke. And then when people want to comment a joke about me being, I'm like, You don't get it, bro. You
know, bruh.
You don't get it, bruh. Like the joke is already there. You don't need to add your comment. You don't need to add your dumb comment.
All right, I'm gonna say a nice thing. I love you and I admire you. I have an enormous amount of respect for you. Yeah. Maybe we should do this on air, maybe off air, but I think you should talk to a therapist. I really do. Like, I think it might help with some of these things. And I just wanted to say that publicly.
Okay, wait, now it's my turn.
All right, yes, please.
We yield to the senator from Bucks County.
But, Case, I think when you do that, because, listen, I know a little bit how you feel. I mean, I've gained weight over the years, and it sucks. But for myself, like, when I look at myself, and I think the same for you, is you're the only one that can change that. And I know that it's hard, and it's hard for me, too. But, like, if you really want to change, you have to be the one. Preston telling you something or...
Oh, yeah.
You know...
And so, what a lot of people don't understand is it's a lot easier than people just listen. There are some fit people out there and they have that within, and like, that's just part of their makeup. And I have to really get into a consistent mental space. I have lost weight, but listen, I haven't been in a good body mental space. Probably since I was in, like, sixth grade.
Well, can I say something here? And I think
let's do entertainment.
One more thing.
Because I have something, too. Go ahead.
You have also, though, in the things that you've done with yourself, you have played a chess game that has also freed you from some demons.
Yeah. So, listen,
no
I put a lot...
small achievement to getting sober.
Listen, I got sober, and I put on 50 pounds. It was just what happened,
that's
right?
That's a workable trade-off.
I switched all of those substances with like ice cream and chocolate and all that sort of stuff. And then I took off all of that weight, and then I tore a ligament in my foot, and I put all the weight back on, and this is where I've been for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
You know? So.
All right, so if this makes you feel any better, at least you and Kathy are good-looking. I hate my face.
Oh, my God.
And there's
yeah.
nothing I can do about that.
I understand
Jesus.
That.
You know?
We are a mess.
Short of a head transplant, I will never be able to fix this. I can tighten up and tone my body and get that going. This will never change.
What is happening
I think
to
you're
us
handsome.
Right now?
Kathy, it's even worse. I hate my enormous penis.
Dude, can't stand it, right?
The weight, the constant pulling.
I just can't believe that that happened during entertainment news.
Well, it's better than the Kardashians.
I guess.
Good point. Yeah. Chris Cuomo was seen naked.
There we go.
F him.
F him for walking around naked and being comfortable with his body.
I could sum all these up, by the way, if you want. Reese Witherspoon is not afraid to die.
All right.
They canceled the show Cops.
Yeah.
Anderson really? Cooper likes being a daddy.
Cool.
Let's see. What else? the guy who created Percy Jackson hates the movies.
You know, that's most entertainment shows are like that. If they were honest, like Extra, they would do what you just did and then play hacky sack for the remaining 20 minutes. Because there's nothing out there right now.
All right. Well, actually, there's a couple things. I will dive just a tiny bit deeper. In an essay published by the Trevor Project, Harry Potter alum Daniel Radcliffe responded to a series of tweets that author J.K. Rowling shared. Rowling's tweets were perceived by many to be transphobic. And Daniel said in his response, transgender women are women. Any statement to the contrary erases the identity and dignity of transgender people and goes against all advice given by professional healthcare associations who have far more expertise on the subject matter than either Joe or I. I guess he calls her Joe. Is that her first name?
It is, yeah.
Okay. And he added, while Joe is unquestionably responsible for the course that my life has taken, as someone who has been honored to work with and continues to contribute to the Trevor Project for the last decade, and just as a human being, I feel compelled to say something at this moment. So he's just saying, look, you know, she's a great author, but she's not right about everything.
Joe, I love you.
We saw this yesterday. Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter are set to reprise their roles as Theodore Ted Logan and William Bill S. Preston Esquire in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. We watched it yesterday.
We all had the same reaction.
Yeah.
Don't know what it's going to be, but we're all hoping it's good.
I'm looking at it going, it'll probably be, you know, crappy, but crappy on purpose in that kind of way.
We're rooting for it.
But I love the fact that especially Keanu Reeves, who by all means does not have to do anything like this at all, is doing it because he thinks it's fun. You know,
and
what
also,
I mean?
He's good friends with his co-star.
With Alex Winter.
Alex Winter, and he knows that this is a step up for him to get this going. So he does it. He's involved with the Matrix, with the John Wick movie franchises. He's got all this going on. In fact, they're working on John Wick 4. But the truth of the matter is that this is a beloved movie. The first one was, I thought, really fun. The second one was the breakout of number two was Death, and the Death character is in this one.
In the trailer, so you're going to see him, I would imagine.
There are a lot of reboots and sequels that I at this point, I just roll my eyes at. And this one, I'm actually looking forward to. I'm excited about, and you're right, Preston. It could end up being terrible, but I'm going to go see it in the theater, see it in the theater.
There's a clip in the movie where I guess they meet themselves.
Yeah.
And so they're time traveling and they meet themselves and the counterparts themselves are muscled up prisoners.
Yes, I mean ridiculously muscled up. Looks funny.
Yeah.
So we'll see. This looks cool. Production has commenced on Sony Animation's. Well, let me back up a second. So it says that the trailer for Bill and Ted Face the Music, that's going to be the title of it. Dropped yesterday, and it is going to the premiere on August 21st. So it's coming up.
You remember the edict that they had was that they were going to write a song that would change the world.
Yes, and would bring peace and love to humanity.
And they had this concert. They'd actually failed to write that song.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they're going to try to fix it.
Right.
So we'll see how that rolls out. So production has commenced on Sony Animation's Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2.
Oh.
Man, that was a good movie. That first movie was excellent.
There's a case to be made that it's equal to the best live-action Spider-Man movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Last month, Sony said the movie was pushing back its release date from April of 2022 to October of 2022. Details of the sequel are under wraps, though. Shameik Moore is expected to return as the star.
I mean, I wonder how this is so with all, everything in shutdown mode, or you know, and it was starting to get back into regular production. I wonder what kind of hit animation movies have taken, because that's, you're working at a computer terminal.
Yeah.
You know?
And then one more thing. On June 12th, movie theaters in the country's top market, California, will begin to reopen with social distancing measures in place. It's unclear when New York theaters, the second biggest market in the country, will be allowed to reopen. I saw something, you know what? I may have put it somewhere else about AMC.
I got it here if you want, Preston. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. They're planning on opening most theaters in July.
So they have, for their seating plans, they describe it as a checkerboard sort of thing. So they're going to have different areas. You know, they're going to set up a quadrant system. If you're with your family, you know, they'll have you seated together. Like, you won't have to sit away from your kids or whatever.
I would
unless
love
you
it.
Want to.
I would love it if every single movie theater would adapt the reserve seat.
I know.
It's so good. It's so great because you don't have to rush to get there so early to get your good spot. You know what I mean? And especially if you're with a group and you want to sit together.
To me, that element, which I have not exploited yet because I'm so specific and I'm what they call a bus budget. But I do that sort of thing where I arrive early because I've got to have my specific seat. The experience has to be exactly the way I like it. And knowing that I had a seat that I pre-chosen would take some of the stress off.
It's great. And then you don't have to worry about, oh, man, the line's too long in concession. We got it. Nope. We got to go in now. We got to get our seat. And you stay here, and I'll come back with the, you know, five tubs of popcorn and whatever. So I wish that'd be great if they could all adapt to that. I mean, you know, more and more people, I think, are buying tickets online, which makes it easier to do something like that.
We can't lose the theater experience.
Agreed.
Can't do that. That is part of the joy a lot of times of seeing movies.
And maybe this development will actually make it slightly more pleasurable on some levels.
I think people miss it. Listen, I'm a lunatic at home with my theater setup and stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is that the joy, pivotal moments in my life revolved around seeing movies on the big screen with an audience.
This is the longest I've gone without seeing a movie in a movie theater.
Yeah, and,
what was the last one? Do you remember?
I was trying to think. John Travolta.
I was trying to think of the last concert that I went to and the last movie that I saw in the theaters, and I couldn't come up with either one of them.
Really?
Yeah, I was racking my brain, and I literally probably have to go through my calendar. But, yeah, last movie and last concert were not coming to me.
Oh, you know what? I could probably just look at my, like my Apple Wallet has my movie ticket.
Well, while you're doing that, let's do the clips, Case.
Okay. All right,
so every week, viewers witness songs being produced in just 45 minutes on NBC Songland. And in this clip, the June 1st episode co-winner, Anna Graceman, discusses what it was like working with Shane McAnally.
Okay. Shane McAnally.
Oh, really?
McAnally?
Let's go with McAnally.
McAnally. There we go.
The Shane you see on TV is the Shane in real life. He's hilarious and he's sweet and then just so kind and genuine and making sure that we were on the same page. Shane is like the perfect kind of mentor just because he's not just there in the music aspect. So having him be willing to be there was amazing.
I don't think I want to see it.
He's always known as McAnally from now on.
Poor Shane McAnally.
New episode of Songland is on NBC Monday at 10. Let's do the next clip. Based on what Pete Davidson's life might have been like had he not become a comedian, is the film The King of Staten Island. In this clip, director Judd Apatow talks about what it was like bringing Pete's story to life on screen. Here we go.
I was nervous because it's such a generous thing for Pete to be willing to share all of this with people. I think it's very meaningful to people who've been through similar things. The scariest screening was Pete showing his family and his mom. So when I heard that she loved the movie, that's when I sighed with relief.
I don't think I want to see it.
The King of Staten Island will be available to watch on demand Friday. I think we might be having Judd on this week.
You know
it's possible.
What? It actually looks good.
It does.
You know, whatever the story is, there's a scene because they're literally taking his life. And because in the movie, his dad died, as a firefighter, died during 9/11. And that's part of the movie. And so they actually even have some jokes with that. So it'll be interesting to see. maybe this will, because I initially really liked him, and then we had that issue with Vinnie Brand and all this stuff, and it's like, what's going on?
Is Marissa Tomei playing his mom?
Yeah.
And Bill Burr's in it, too.
Okay, interesting.
So, and if it's Judd Apatow, you know it's going to have.
Yeah. So it'll be available to watch on demand on Friday. Yes,
please. Nick, I think the last movie I saw in the theater was Rise of Skywalker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Okay.
Might be the same for me.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Well, thank you for joining us for the entertainment news and therapy session this morning on the Preston and Steve Show.
Appreciate it, guys. I love you.
I don't think we've ever done that. We love you, too.
Group virtual hug.
All right. We're going to take a break and come back in a moment. Don't forget Pennsauken in high school. We want to know who the coolest teacher has been for you in the past year. Text word teacher to 39333, and we'll get you that link to fill out and we'll find out tomorrow morning as we're getting ready to close that up on Friday. We will be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
The Black Keys. The Rolling Stones. Five Finger Death Punch.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll say a prayer today for a guy named Joe Dock who just texted in. He had no idea that Aerosmith was saying "Love in an Elevator" until I just said it just now.
Stop it.
Name of the song.
What did he think they were saying?
I have no idea.
That's one of the clear.
Yeah. Yes.
That's one of the like, seldom me, confused. Yeah.
It's not like "Excuse me while I kiss this guy" or "Kiss the sky," whatever you hear out of that. No, it's. Okay, thanks, buddy, I'm happy for you.
Great question about that. Since we're talking about that song, did they write that, or is it someone else who wrote that song?
Aerosmith. I always assume they wrote it.
Okay,
I'm not sure.
I know some of their songs at a certain point, you know, one or two were written by Diane Warren, and I know the Armageddon theme song.
This one's a Tyler Perry written song.
Yeah. Tyler Perry wrote that? Yeah.
No.
Medea.
Like,
loving a big woman's dress.
McCartney / Lennon, Tyler / Perry, Steven Tyler.
Joe. Okay. Steven Tyler Joe Perry. Okay.
Probably should have said that.
Sorry, I'm with
loving
Joe.
Loving a big castray.
Kathy's with us.
I'm with Joe because remember what was the song that I had no idea I was singing the wrong words was the name of the song.
Slide.
Why don't you smile?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I turned my mic up. Sorry, Press.
I have nothing to add to this conversation, so I'm turning my own mic off.
Love in an Elevator. I don't know. I don't know what he thought it could have been.
He thought it was Love in La Vida.
Love and La Vida.
Yeah, he wrote back, yeah.
Love and La Vida.
I guarantee I can match Joe for stupid stuff like that.
It's probably Love and La Vida.
Living La Vida when you're going up and down.
Right. Oh, Love in La... All right, whatever,
come
man.
Come on, just, man. You make it talking about
come on, man.
Here. Come on.
All right. A story that Steve sent me, an article. I don't know who wrote it, but they pose an interesting question, and we wanted to see what everybody's take was on this. Is it okay to post something on social media even though you have not gotten back to a long ago text? So to put it this way, you post something on social media. Somebody had sent you a text earlier in the day or the day before, something like that, and you never got back to them. Yet you had time to go on your social media account
and
say whatever it is you wanted to say. And that person sees it and goes, well, they got time to post something on their social media and they're not getting back to me. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, and this is interesting at this point, especially with this article coming out now, because people... The amount of screen time has skipped up exponentially. The amount of communications that are being done on all forms of social media and then ones that had not even been explored before has skipped up. So now we're even more hyper aware of this kind of protocol.
Yep.
I'm sure this happens all the time, but what really bothers me is if you text somebody, but then you and that person are also on a group text and they respond to the group text, but not your personal text that went to them with like a question or something, but they'll respond to the group. That drives me insane.
So a question has been directed to you, but you respond to the group.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like if you, Steve, if you and I were separately texting, but we're also on that whole show group text and I text you a question, not even having to do with the show, just anything.
Oh, I hear you.
You don't respond to me, but you'll respond in the group text, not necessarily to what I'm asking, just whatever the group's talking about.
And you know what, Kathy, like you think, I'd never do that. And then sometimes, though, like it's like, why aren't they getting back to me? Or, you know, the best of us. And I pretty much don't care because I assume everybody's got distractions and I completely understand that. But every once in a while, you'll look at that thing because the truth that in some of the when you text someone automatically a little bubble response pops up that suggests they're responding back to you.
It's not automatic. Yeah.
I think it might
sometimes
if they are reading it at the time.
Is that what that is?
I'm not 100% sure.
No, I think
sure.
If their cursor is in the like the little text bubble.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know. All right. Because I'll see it pop up and then nothing will come.
And that's only iPhone to iPhone conversation. You know? Oh, all right. So if you're talking to somebody on a Droid, that they won't, you'll never see the bubble because they are a loser. if somebody does that to me, posts on social media, and has not responded to my text, I do take it personally. And I don't know what that says about me. Maybe it's I'm being insecure, but I will notice it and I will hold them accountable for it. And I'm like, their social media posts are more important than getting back to me.
Where I've never had this issue, but I'm curious as to what people think about it. So feel free to call and let us know your opinion on that. But where I fall into issues with text or where the mistakes that I make are that, and a lot of times it'll happen during the show, someone will text me. I will read the text real quick. I don't have time to respond.
And then you forget.
I'm working. Right. So it has then been marked as read.
Yeah,
it's not new anymore. And then maybe a few other people will text me during the course of the show or the day, and then I lose it, and I completely had no idea or forgot that they had texted me.
And then you just, oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
I know, and that's what I have to do. I got to do the apology.
So what Apple needs to do is they need to create a feature where you can mark a text as unread so you can go back and read it, and then they also need to be able to, because you can do this in email, you can just isolate all unread messages so that you can just go through that. Because I know a lot of people for some reason, when they see the amount of unread messages I have in my text.
How many got there? I remember one time you posted something, a screen grab, and it showed that there were like 300 unanswered texts.
Yeah, I mean, we're close. It's 285.
Wow.
But listen, you know, like one, but they're messages that don't need to be responded to. Like, for instance,
like help.
Heather Mitt's birthday was yesterday.
Yeah.
I said, hey, happy birthday from me and the rest of the Preston and Steve show. And she just wrote back, whoa, thank you so much.
Okay.
That doesn't need to be.
But did you read it?
I'm reading it now. But I don't have to click on it to read it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but go ahead and click on it and then go back. I mean, that will lower that number. And I try to keep that number as low as possible. And I always have like four or five up there. And I'll scroll back and it's like, man, I got to get to that. And I haven't, not necessarily responding. It might be somebody reminding me of something. And I'll leave it there as a bizarre little reminder for myself.
I know. Right. All these things we do that end up screwing up.
Marissa?
I am so guilty of this. I am the worst. I am a terrible texter, and I apologize.
You're actually the person I was talking about when I gave that example.
I am sorry, Kathy. I am sorry, Mom. I am sorry to all of my friends. They know it, too. The worst part is, Casey, when you open up a text and you think that you read the whole thing, but then you eventually open it and you see that there was more to it.
Yeah.
Like they say, oh, whoa, thanks. Enter next line.
By the way, I'm trapped in my basement. I can't get out.
Help me.
And I've run out of food and water.
Let me give you this. Go ahead.
Oh, no. So I was going to say, like, back to the social media thing. I don't feel guilty about posting something because I also have, like, this, like, social media addiction where once I get onto my phone, I start checking, like, our personal websites and, you know, socials and all. And then I can't turn off. So I don't feel bad posting something on my personal page or a work post that I've planned. But where I will feel guilty about is liking one of their photos if I haven't responded to the text.
Right.
Yeah. So I'll just pretend I didn't see the Instagram post. Or if I, like, accidentally watch their story, like, I'm screwed.
What a world we live in.
Why? Because how do they know that?
You can see who watched your Instagram story.
See, I don't know these things. I don't dive that deep into social media, so I'm not aware of these proper protocol, and what the etiquette is
also,
of it. And by the way, I'll give the opinion of this author in a moment after we take some calls and get everybody's take on this.
Well, some of that's generational, too. Like, you prioritize things differently. And for me, like, responding to an email or a text comes first, and then I'll respond to a direct message or whatever else. But it's different for different people for different reasons. And Marissa, like you were talking about your addiction to social media, and you get obsessive about it. And I think we all have our arenas where we're obsessive about certain things.
By the way, if people don't respond to your texts, the two words,
yep,
good talk,
yep,
is perfect. Almost and it, well, works, it works almost every time.
Yep. It does. And that's the reminder sometimes that I need, Press, like you said. Like sometimes you just can't get to the messages and then you forget about them as new ones come in. But Casey will remind you with good talk and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot to respond to him.
The king of good talk is Chuck.
Yeah.
And Chuck will do good talk if it's been like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you
yeah.
Haven't gotten do you know what the service of good talk? Do you know what good talk provides, though? It also provides the service of calling up that chain in your messages. So what were we talking? In other words, when, like that puts it back up so you can read back up in the conversation and see what he had said.
I'm sorry, I want to read a text real quick. It says, regarding Preston's point, it depends on how long it's been. If someone doesn't get back to me and post on social media within like 20 minutes, yeah, F them. Yeah. But if they don't get back to me and post on social media 5 hours later, I assume that they were working and they forgot.
Well, I really didn't even know that that was a thing.
I didn't either.
I'll tell you what, when I text to the group here, because there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people that are on that chain, and people don't respond to that, I'm like, 7 people that haven't responded to.
I think there's safety in not responding because the number's so high.
Right.
So, like, if you respond, if you write, like Kathy was talking about earlier, if you write to me directly, I'm more inclined to get back to you quickly.
Right.
If you write to the group text, I'm like, well, Casey doesn't need a response because there's 7 other people on there.
Yeah, but I need Chuck validation.
I know
life.
You do. I know. And you need it to feel better about yourself.
And you have a beautiful body.
Yes. Here's another text. It says, this just happened to me this morning. I texted my girlfriend to make sure I locked the door at the house when I left, and she didn't answer, but was active on Facebook. So I messaged her on Facebook, and she answered right away, and I was like, what the F, bro? He said, my girlfriend ignores people's texts but is too dumb to turn off the active symbol on Facebook so everybody knows.
Get educated, bro.
The Wicked Witch of the West.
Let me get a couple of calls here. I'm going to go to Tony. Hey, Tony, good morning.
Chicken pie.
What's up, dude?
What's going on, guys? So here's the thing that drives me up the wall, and this happens more often than I would like it to happen. I would send a text out to a couple buddies, and they would then turn around, not respond to text, but then like an hour or so later tag me in a bunch of posts on Facebook. So then when they tag me in it, I reply. I'm like, did you see my text? And they still don't reply to the comment on there saying, yeah, I did see it.
Yeah, there's a bizarre sort of it's a social media game of chess. And I guess you're – and then at that point, Tony, you feel you're being ignored, correct?
I feel like I'm being ignored, and then I feel like they ignored me again. So I'm like, why are you tagging me in a post?
Thanks, Tony. I get it. But here and now, besides good talk, would something like, did you hear?
Yeah.
You know, question mark, a lot of question marks.
I'll just do.
How about no one saw it coming?
Yeah, nobody saw it coming, dude. You know, something.
What? What?
Big time open ended that, and I'll bet you get an immediate response.
If I ask somebody a question and they don't respond, I will just reply eventually with just a question mark. Like, just put that in the text and send that, because I feel like that's not rude. It's not presumptive. It's just, hey, I asked you a question yesterday or 6 hours ago or whatever. You haven't responded yet.
Right.
And I kind of need an answer on something.
Yeah, that's a good. I will respond to that too. That's a good reminder. I just send crickets.
Okay, you write the word crickets?
No, like I'll send, like, you know, a little...
I'll mail a bag of crickets.
What is
a
this?
A little emoji.
This just came FedEx. Okay. Do we have a snake?
Marissa, hang on a second here.
Well, so it's funny you say the question mark, Nick, because I think that is a little aggressive. It's like, hello?
Okay.
But even that is kind of what you are
see
saying.
That? See that?
Yeah.
Do you see how the...
That's funny, man.
It's what they call, again, the Rashomon effect, where everyone sees it differently.
Uh-huh.
How do you guys respond to this when you have so someone will leave you a voicemail, but you just call them back without listening to the voicemail?
Oh yeah, I do that all the time.
So are you insulted if you've left a voicemail?
I've gotten over it. In fact, I've gotten it's the culture seems like voicemail has pretty much disappeared for the most part. In that, just not leaving a message means call me.
And which I accidentally FaceTimed my sister this morning. I'm like, God damn it, she's going to think that I know she's going to call me. Anyway, I got to talk to her. But anyway, it used to. It used to be like, I left the information in a voicemail. Did you not hear
right,
it?
Right, right.
So now I get it. It's not as abrasive as I used to find it.
Does the aspect of the occurrence of the instant transcribing of the voicemail to text, I think that adds another level?
It does, but it's so wrong all the time. It's so incorrect. I got one yesterday. I'll see if I can find it for you. I still don't know what the hell it means. I don't know who it was from. I think Rochelle sent it to me, but I'll read that in a second.
The only reason I'll leave a voicemail is because sometimes people won't see the call coming through, you know, so like they won't know to call back. And so I'll leave a voicemail if it is, again, important to,
no, it's
to
true.
Have
true.
That call returned.
Here you go. I don't know what this is. It says, this is a voicemail. Rochelle sent me a screen grab of it. It says, hi, this is P-R-E-E, calling from Get I Got It Printing. I'm calling in regards to your Sally Strong order that you purchased with us. I just want to confirm that you received it. We're showing in our system here. Mark is on for field, which means that it wasn't completed, but we are up to a certain number. So I just wanted to confirm that you received your order. I have no idea what this is in reference to.
Sally Strong.
All right, so but that's the thing. The voice to text that they'll get it wrong. Like Sally Strong might be Silly String. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly. And that's probably what it is. Man, Marissa, guys,
I got some bad news. Sally Strong passed away.
Oh damn it!
Hey guys, moment of silence.
Good news. Erase that.
85 Cranberry, New Jersey.
In 2013 is when she died. So sorry.
Just updating you.
Marissa. I want to go back and defend my texting etiquette. It really is sincere.
Wow.
No, it is sincere because it means that, like, I want to spend time with the text and think about the response I'm about to do. But whenever you text me, I just didn't have time at the moment.
So this is you announcing that if Marissa gets back to you quickly, you mean nothing to her.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
No, I know what you mean. I need to get this is more than just a, yeah, sure. It's you need to respond with some details or something along those lines, and I can't do it right now. Yeah.
I think part of the problem, too, is that there are so many means of communication. There's all the social media platforms. There's text, there's phone call, there's email. And so sometimes you just have trouble prioritizing all of them.
I tell you what one started to become very problematic was the instant messaging on the computer.
Yeah.
So if you start up a conversation and you're working and you're on your laptop.
Oh, I hated that.
I found so many times I would be now, bing, bing. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm glad that is sort of fallen out of favor because you could say, oh, my phone was away from me.
Right.
And I didn't have it right there. But, man, I remember getting into some, what am I going to get out of this conversation?
Mario, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what?
What's up, buddy?
I'm going to tell you what. So what really grinds my gears is when somebody texts me and I'm in the truck and I try to be responsible and not text and drive. So I say, hey, let me just call them back real quick because it's easier for me to text or easier for me to talk than text. And they don't answer the phone.
Yeah. And you know they have the phone in their hand right there.
I know they have it right in their hand. I mean, they see my phone call coming through. I feel so ignored and shameful.
Oh, Jackie Bam Bam does it. He sets me up all the time. He'll be like, blah, 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 on a text. And then I'll respond like, yeah, man. And then I'll be like, bring. Hey, man. I'm like, oh.
And then what really gets me is that they text me back. And they're like, hey, man, sorry, I couldn't answer. What's going on? And I try to call them back again, and they still don't answer.
It does drive you crazy because a lot of times my wife will get a call from her and I'll call her back and they'll pick up. I'm like,
yeah. Where did you go?
How did that happen?
Right there.
What did a wormhole open up behind you?
Yes. I hate talking on the phone. I despise it, but sometimes as I'm like getting ready to text, I'm like, there are too many words right now. And I'm just going to make a phone call. And people don't answer the phone anymore.
Are there any
occasions? Especially if they don't know your number.
Yeah. Are there any occasions in which you do like talking on the phone? Because I like it in the car.
Okay. You know what?
The car is such a great platform for talking.
I drove down the shore a couple of weeks ago, and it was going to be a two-hour ride. And I was like, you know what? Haven't talked to this person in a while.
Exactly.
And I'm The thing is, I might have dialed like 6 or 7 numbers and nobody answered. And then finally, my buddy George called me back and I hadn't talked to him. He's my
you
friend
were
from college.
I didn't want to talk to you.
Yeah. But no, you know what? We talked for a long time.
You
yeah.
You're right. I have like a 35-minute drive home and I'm like, if I got calls to make, I'm going to do it now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it now while I'm in the car. It's kind of wasted time.
Yeah.
You know, and so I try to fill the car ride with a phone call.
Yeah. I called a guy that I went to college. He was my roommate, my sophomore year roommate. I called him, and he didn't. And I honestly haven't talked to him since the day we graduated.
Wow.
And we were supposed to connect, and Scott, you never called me.
It's funny how, you know, the phone has changed over the years because we still keep a landline. I always want to have a landline at the house. And it has become such a flood of robocalls that mm-hmm. I don't even bat an eye. I barely even know that the phone is ringing. My kids have been conditioned to ignore our landline phone. Just ignore it.
I agree. I thought we have a landline, and now I figure I'll know that it's serious if state troopers show up.
Because at
this point, literally, the phone is sitting behind the entertainment console, and I'll see the light flashing.
Yeah,
it's the last time I went through a lot of those calls. It was all garbage.
Sure. Yeah.
My kids ignore every single sound that is made in the house. Do you guys have an alarm on your fridge door? If it stays open for a little bit?
Yeah, but that rarely happens.
I will hear a bling, 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 and I will walk past all three of my kids to get to the... I'm like, did you guys... Well, I didn't hear it.
Well, listen, this is what this author says. This is their take on this. So if this aligns with you, you know, then rock on. But so if you text someone, they don't respond to you, and then they post on social media... this person, and Steve, I forgot to get the byline. And
I can look it up.
So they give this indication. It says, hi, remember me? A friend had replied to my Instagram story on Saturday. She had texted me the day before, and I had forgotten to respond. I'd had a truly horrible week and wanted to take the weekend to recover. I had every intention of replying to her non-urgent text on Monday, but because she saw me using Instagram, she felt that I should have texted her back already. So my friend called me. Called me out for not answering her. I replied honestly. I explained that for me, posting on social media requires much less effort than engaging in a personal conversation.
Right. So put this in context, Preston. The article is, it's okay to post on social media even though you haven't replied to texts, and it's from Nicole Gallucci on Mashable.
All right, on Mashable. She said, I told her that I was taking the weekend to recharge my social batteries, and she was super understanding. We ended up having a really productive conversation about how texting isn't always as easy as it sounds. First world problem.
It really is.
I'm very understanding. I don't think I get like super duper butthurt about it because I'm guilty of what I accuse other people of. Do you
and
know
that's
what I mean?
That's it. Okay. A lot of people, though, don't see their own culpability for doing exactly the same thing, and they just get, pissed off.
Now, while I say first world problem, I also identify with that, too, you know, because sometimes I'm, you know, because you know it's going to be a back and forth. And maybe you just don't feel like doing that right now, or you are indeed busy.
Right.
And, you know, which is why I do now love an emoji response, because the emoji response for me, or the instant actual, you know, like or heart or ha ha.
Yes.
That you can now do on a text specifically, not even typing it in.
Yeah.
It's a way to say.
Got it.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Good. Let's go.
And
that's, or a GIF.
Kind of puts a little period on it.
Or GIF or whatever it is. Yeah. We determine that.
It's GIF.
I say GIF.
But you're acknowledging that person. You're acknowledging the message.
But like, Steve, of that GIF here, Sean has a comment. Hey, Sean, you're on the air. Good morning.
Calvin 19. Guaranteed to make you sick.
Make you sick.
Sick. So your friend answers texts in an interesting way.
So here's what he'll do. He is not the best texter, but what he will do is, so like, he's the best man for my wedding, and so I'll have a lot of questions for him. And then I'm like, hey, is this time good for you to do, like, reception dinner or whatever? That's just an example.
Yep.
So I won't hear from him for several hours. I'm like, okay, he'll get back to me later. But then what he usually does instead is he'll send me memes on Instagram. So I'll respond to the memes by saying,
Hey, listen, I appreciate the memes, but answer your text once in a while, will you?
Yeah.
So, he actually lives on an undisclosed army base right now, and he just had an impromptu wedding. So I texted him, and I said, hey, congratulations. You got any pictures from the wedding? And that was a couple days ago, so I'm just waiting for an onslaught of Star Wars memes.
Nice. Yeah. Thanks, Sean. Yeah, gifts and memes and things like that can be a quick response to stuff and can kind of put a period on the conversation, you know. So, but it's interesting. Keep in mind that people might have some other things going on and they, you know, unless they're just flat out ignoring you, which can happen.
Or they're communicating with friends they like more than you.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I never thought about that. That's a way to think about it, too. All right, listen, I want to take a break because we got to go live on Fox Good Day when we return. The Bizarre File is coming up, too. And Pennsauken High School, Pennsauken Township, you're up for coolest teacher. Text word teacher to 39333. We're going to be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
We're going to skip traffic for the moment and get back to this because we're going to go on Fox Good Day in a second here. But, Nick, real quick.
Yeah, ma'am.
The Big Climb virtual version is coming up.
It's this Saturday, and there's still time to join Team Luke. The link's on PrestonandSteve.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, and I tweeted about it. So join the team. We'd love to have you be a part of it. You don't have to do a damn thing, and you can contribute and be a part of Team Luke for Big Climb Philly Benefits LLS, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
Excellent. All right. So we will get traffic in a little bit. We'll get the Bizarre File coming up in a few. We're also going to have actress Mary Lou Henner on the show in the 9 o'clock hour. She's going to be at the Bucks County Playhouse. Now we go live on Box.
Okay, send me new pictures, graduation pictures. You're going to be showing.
But use the hashtag. You have to use the hashtag Fox29.
Yeah. Are Preston and Steve waiting on us?
Yeah.
We just got
okay,
here.
Okay, sorry. I always try to get right to you. Hi, Preston and Steve.
Hi.
Hi, Mike and Alex.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Alex, are you back at the I was watching. You guys don't look like you're on the same set, but you're back at the office, right?
Yeah, I'm in the same studio, but I'm socially distant. So I have my corner. He has his corner.
Cool.
So that's how we're doing it.
Nice.
Yeah, we're about 35 feet apart, but at least I can see her, and it's much easier to do the show.
Right.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
We use Nick Semaphore. That's how we can be. Yeah, Nick is back in the studio.
And Kathy will be back next week, so we're slowly, you know.
That's too bad.
excited about this? Yeah. To have a reunion?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been nice.
Aw.
I have no idea what the topic is, but I'm going to go with
a lot of people have been working habits. From home. Yeah. So we want you guys to reveal, for the folks who have been working from home, what are some of the bad habits that you've... Because it's been a couple of months. You can form a habit in a couple of months.
Easily.
Well, we haven't been working from home. Nick and Kathy have, so maybe they can speak on
that. Mine, guys, was easy. I stopped showering. You know, you just didn't need to shower every day. You know, dress with sweats and the most comfortable clothes you could find if you had to put on pants at all. So for me, it was just, you know, you just didn't need to present yourself in a very presentable manner, and that's what it was for me.
However, Nick is now very welcomed in the Amish community.
He's got
a huge beard.
Yeah, no trimming of the beard.
Kath?
I think mine is, since the middle of March, I think I've put makeup on like 3 or 4 times, and that's it.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
I love it.
She's just... She's letting herself free, and honestly, every morning we're greeted on FaceTime by the picture of a Russian peasant woman.
Did you, Alex, did you pick up any bad habits?
Well, I think the thing I miss is that I was actually able to eat breakfast and things because it was just right there at home. So I think I got lazier because I would just, you know, walk a couple steps to sit down at my desk, and now, you know, going into work, like Nick was saying, getting dressed up.
Yeah.
But I'm still wearing sweatpants. I'm not changing.
Well, what you do? You prefer being in the studio, correct? I mean, it's what you do. It's the environment assists in your performance, correct?
Right.
It's technically easy.
I think she wants to stay at home. That's it. Yeah.
Well, there are some things I miss, yes. But it is easier to do the show from here. I just have to get used to being next to Mike and hearing all that he does behind the scenes all over again. You know, his little temper tantrums.
Well, here's the thing, fish face, right back at you.
Oh.
For over a month, it was almost 2 months, I had the studio to my... There was no one in here with me. Now, I've got a producer... is in my ear from the control room on the second floor, but I was here by myself.
It is pretty wild because here in the building, what would happen is you would go into the bathroom and the automatic lights would be off. It'd be dark. It'd be like, oh, boy, that toilet seat is going to be cool.
All to myself.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's gonna be awesome. Mike, you didn't have a cameraman?
No, we have robotic cameras.
Punch up that camera over there, please. We have robotic cameras.
They move on.
And they're controlled on the second floor in our control room.
But eventually they'll control you as they become our overlords.
It's like Space Odyssey, yeah.
Right, yeah.
No question. I do notice this, though, if I've people are telling me that they take naps more often. Like you'll just fall asleep there at your little workstation that you have near your couch. Drift off for about 10 minutes.
Would that happen at home?
No, actually, I found myself with more energy because you didn't have to commute. You weren't frustrated by sitting in traffic. So those were benefits of working from home.
You got to sleep in a little bit later, right? Yeah, I mean, Alex, for you as well, like, how much more sleep did you get as a result from working from home?
Well, originally they told me it was only going to be for a week. So I was scared to sleep in because I thought, well, if they switch me and I have to be in the studio, I don't want to get used to sleeping later. So I didn't really sleep that much later. But I will agree that I had more time because I didn't have to do all the meetings and stuff and then go home.
With everybody at home, do you think certain channels had more business?
Jesus,
on
Mike.
Your cable?
Whatever do you mean, Mike?
Yeah,
no. Everyone's quiet on that one.
Oh no!
Well, it means pornography.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about. Okay. Who's hopping on cable?
I was just thinking about it.
You've heard about the internet, right?
You know, you're on a Zoom call. I mean, and you just kind of mute.
How are you going to watch The Classroom and do that as well? It allows you to multitask. Yeah.
Okay. We better go.
See you guys.
Bye, guys.
All right. Bye bye. Man, what was it? I was going to comment on something that a habit that had picked up. You know what? Yeah, what you had mentioned, the commute.
Yeah. Oh, did you sit in it yesterday? By the way, the construction on 76 Westbound.
Yeah, it's been happening. Okay. The past few days. So, but you haven't experienced that.
That was my first traffic jam in 2 or 3 months.
That's what kills me. That would be the one shining light, and I don't even have a bad commute. Would be the shining light of working from home because it's that. That makes me as drowsy as I am when I get home. Yeah. I leave work ready for the day.
Yeah.
I get in the car on the way home, and by the time I get home, I'm exhausted. It doesn't happen on the way here. When you start the day, right. You sit, you know, and fortunately we don't have traffic to sit through, but whatever. That riding in the car and getting here does not make me drowsy. Going home, I'm ready to go to sleep. It sucks because I still have things to do.
Yeah, you know? Or want to do.
Or exercise, or whatever, you know?
You're so right. When I used to, I was living on Long Island and I would drive into Manhattan. This is the first morning show I'd ever done, Q104 in New York. Driving home, I remember clearly, the sun would always be coming through the windshield.
Warming.
And there were times I would have to pull over halfway home and close my eyes because it was so energy sucking.
Yeah, that's where talking to people on the phone comes in handy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they can hear the crash when you drive off the road.
Speaking of being on the road, let's take that look at NJM Insurance Group traffic. How about that segue? Kathy, what's going on?
Yeah, so you know what? I thought maybe this week we'd see traffic pick up, but really it's still just these construction spots and some minor delays on the roadway. So the Walt Whitman Bridge eastbound, we have that construction that has the roadway reduced to one lane, so it is jammed eastbound on the Walt Whitman Bridge. Commodore Barry Bridge eastbound, that's construction as well. 95 southbound slowing a bit from the Betsy Ross Bridge through to Girard and then the Commodore Barry Bridge to Highland Avenue, and then on the Schuylkill eastbound you have some slow traffic from the Boulevard through to Girard. This traffic report brought to you by Allstate. If you're driving less, you could be saving more on car insurance. Save money with Paper Mile Insurance from Allstate. Call a local Allstate agent and get a quote. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Armor Metals and Recycling. Get cash today. If you need cash fast, bring your scrap and e-cycling to Armor Metals and Recycling and walk away with cash today. Located in Pennsauken, New Jersey, or at armormetalsrecycling.com. That's where Pennsauken High School is. Up for coolest teacher this year of the year, by the way. All right, so a man has been filmed casually waiting to be seen at a hospital.
with a crossbow arrow lodged in his chest.
Ooh. I'll just sit over here.
Yeah. The hapless patient, identified as 21-year-old Mr. Peng, had accidentally shot himself while loading his crossbow.
I feel so stupid.
Incredibly, the bolt missed his heart by just 0.2 inches.
That's enough.
Footage shows Mr. Peng waiting at the accident and emergency department in the hospital in China.
This man has gingivitis. Put him before me.
He appears remarkably calm as the bolt protrudes from his body. Two men flank him on either side to give him support. The young man was driven to the hospital shortly after shooting the 15-inch plastic bolt into the left side of his chest. He underwent a successful one-hour surgery to have the bolt removed. The doctor said, "We spent an hour operating on him, moving a section of damaged lung tissue, patching it up and stopping the bleeding. His surgery went very well. He has since regained consciousness and is in good spirits and can speak and eat without issue."
Back to the crossbow.
Right. Police in Japan in Oita City on Monday arrested a 38-year-old man on suspicion of murder after he dumped 2 tons of building materials from a forklift onto a 53-year-old colleague at a storage yard of a construction company.
So is the belief the intent was to kill him?
It is.
Of course it was.
According to police, the incident occurred Saturday. They said the suspect, Hidemitsu Sihiro, was operating a forklift at the time and was carrying about 2 tons of wall building material, which he dropped on the victim.
Wow.
Takashi Fujita, he then put the materials back on the forklift and left the site. Fujita.
So he cleaned up his mess, basically.
Yeah, he sustained severe head injuries. A passerby saw Fujita, called 911. He was taken to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. Police said that there had been previous trouble between the two men, and that Sugiro has admitted to the charge.
Oh, yeah, they were always dropping tons of rubble on each other.
Killing him, yeah. An Indian man who went to the hospital with abdominal pain had inserted a mobile phone charger cable into his urethra. And listen to what he does here, okay? So the man, and it's stupid enough that he did this, right?
Right.
All right. So the man visited a hospital in northeastern India last month, claiming he had ingested some earphones, according to Dr. Waliul Islam, a general surgeon at the hospital. But when the cord didn't appear, despite the patient being prescribed laxatives, doctors resorted to surgery. He said he came to us after 5 days, and despite passing stools several times, the cable did not come out. We then conducted an endoscopy, but still, we couldn't find anything. As the patient complained of severe pain, we decided to perform surgery and found that there was nothing in his intestine. It was at that point, so he told him he had swallowed this thing, okay?
Why?
It was at that point that an X-ray revealed the man to have a 2-foot-long charging cable in his bladder inserted via his urethra, tube that leads from the penis to the bladder.
I can't believe I forgot I did that.
Right. Islam said, "Then I made an incision there and took out the cord, which was actually a charging cable over 2 feet long."
Oh, man.
He said if he had been honest, then it would have saved us the trouble and we could have treated him sooner. The patient has been discharged and apparently is doing fine at this point.
But that has to be painful.
Extremely, I would imagine.
Especially if it was a USB-C.
Yeah. Oh, my God, the big one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As you can imagine.
In England, people have died at home alone of COVID-19 during the pandemic and not been found for up to 2 weeks. Doctors who have investigated such deaths have said they have only been discovered after a relative, friend, or neighbor raises the alarm and have in many cases gone undetected for so long their body is decomposing.
Oh, my God.
Campaigners for the elderly said the phenomenon highlighted the vulnerability of isolated older people living on their own with little family support and the risks being run by the large numbers of patients who have avoided hospitals and surgeries in recent months through the fear of coronavirus. Dr. Mike Osborne, a senior pathologist, said that people have lain undiscovered during the pandemic for 7 to 14 days. I've seen plenty of such cases like this where bodies are decomposed in the COVID outbreak and also done postmortems in what they call query COVID cases where the disease was suspected. The decomposition makes identifying the exact cause of death difficult. However, despite this, he was able to establish that some such deaths were a result of COVID-19. Doctors believe that several dozen such cases occurred in London during March, April, and May.
People never checked on.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right, and then we'll do one more story. We'll save that one for later. It's a good one. All right, how about this? We'll wrap up with this. It's a cute one. Usually cat owners have to be wary of their pets climbing trees and not dog owners. But Sasha is a 5-year-old pit bull from Lubbock, Texas, and left her owner baffled when she climbed up a tree. Her owner caught the dog climbing on video. And in the video, Sasha places her two front paws on a branch and takes in the view before biting a nearby leaf. Her owner adds she likes to climb up in the partially torn treehouse to bark at birds and just hang out.
That's cool.
That is cool. I wish I had a dog to climb the tree.
My dog just plays the piano.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, they've all got their
things. Yeah, they all got their things.
And that is what I have in the Bizarre File. I got a really good story coming up in the next Bizarre File, awesome. So make sure you don't miss that. Hey, we have some beer to give away today. Our friends at Sly Fox have given us a case of Sly Fox Helles Golden Lager. It's crowd-pleasing, local favorite, goes well with just about anything. Caller number 9 at 215-263-WMMR. It is yours. A refined malt sweetness combined with the gentle, noble hops. Sly Fox Helles is perfectly balanced and easy drinking. Outdoor dining is now available, by the way, at all Sly Fox locations. And you can order your favorite bites and brews for pickup at SlyFoxBeer.com. So, caller number 9, 215-263-WMMR. Get on it. Now, if you don't win the beer, don't forget we have a secret text word chance for you to win a $50 Uber Eats gift card. Just text the word SECRET to 39333 and you might win. We'll be back in a moment.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I just want to pass this along. My oldest son might be dead. I'm not really sure. Oh,
stop it.
You talked about him yesterday here at this time, right?
Yes, yes. And how I need him to
get motivated.
Get a job that might get him motivated. So last night, for some reason, I guess I was heading to bed and I didn't think much of it. And he goes, I'm going to sleep in the hall tonight.
What?
Sleep in the hall. What are you going to sleep in the hall for? Because he does lay on the floor in the hall and watches videos sometimes. And I guess he likes this little spot or whatever. It's at the top of the front stairs of the house. And so I go, because you like laying there? Yeah, I'm just going to do it. Okay. Whatever. Whatever, kid. And so I wake up at 4 a.m. to go to work. So it's dark in the house, obviously. Oh, I shower, I get cleaned up, and so on. I'm getting ready to leave.
Oh, no.
And I step and fall on him.
Oh, jeez.
And he, not only did he not move, he didn't grunt. He didn't say, ow. He didn't scoot. He felt limp. And for a mere moment, I thought, he might be dead.
Oh, my God.
And then I'm like, I got to go to work. I'll see you. And part of me, oddly enough, felt, well, he wasn't stiff, so he can't be rigor mortis. I doubt it.
No, it's still fresh.
And he sleeps like the dead. And I just, I can't believe he didn't wake up.
That's crazy.
I tripped and fell on him, and I'm like, oh, I even, you know, made a noise.
How does that, I've never in my life, even at my best sleeping, no, I never achieved a state of deep sleep like that where someone of your size mm-hmm. could literally step mm-hmm. on me mm-hmm. and not wake me up.
You have to. The only time is when you have been, when you're really drunk.
So outside
when you're passed out cold, in college, we called it stacking, right? If you passed out in the middle of like a party or a get together or whatever, we would just start putting things on you until you woke up from it. And I mean,
that's great.
I mean, sometimes we got like an entire bedroom on somebody. One time I woke up and I thought maybe I was actually dead because when I opened my eyes, I couldn't see
light
and I couldn't see light. I could see nothing. And I was like, okay.
All right.
Am I dead? Is this the afterlife?
I think I'm dead.
I have no idea what's going on here. As it turned out, the entire room was on top of me. There was another time when there was a girl when nobody knew who she was. And so we started stacking her and we were chanting, stack the stranger.
Yeah.
As we were stacking her and she never still didn't wake up.
I mean, obviously you're at a point of inebriation and you're out like that. The people who just, even without that, can fall into that deep. I mean, Preston. First off, I mean, God bless him. I love the quirkiness of I want to sleep in the hallway. And you're like the dad is like,
okay,
go ahead,
do what you're gonna do.
Just
who I was.
Just don't hurt anybody.
You didn't touch his flesh to see if he was cold.
I had to get to work. And it's funny because I texted Rochelle 45 minutes ago, and I didn't say dead because I didn't want to scare her, but I said I think Parker's in a coma because I stepped and fell on him, and he didn't budge. And she just, I think she sent me like a laughing emoji back or something like that because she knows.
Yeah.
Wait, what she wrote? She said maybe he just fell into a deep sleep right before you woke up? ? I don't know.
All right, so Steve, I'm not going to ask you this question because I'm afraid of what your answer is. Actually, I'll ask everybody. But in the height of the time in your life where you slept the most, how late would you sleep?
Well, I mean, unless I was sick.
You're just not that guy.
Sick. I'm not that guy. Yeah. I feel that the day has wasted. I remember, like, if I remember waking up late on a Saturday morning, like, to me, which would be like 10.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd be like, oh, my God, I have missed cartoons.
Because routinely at 20, 21, even, you know, in college, like that era. And I was a terrible.
To sleep to the afternoon?
Yeah. And I was a terrible college student, and I'm sure that contributed to it. But I would stay in bed and often. Get out of bed at 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
Was it after being up till 3?
Sometimes. Yeah, but I mean, I think I just, that was when I slept the most, too.
But that, add into the element, I never drank.
Yeah.
So that was an element that never, and even as a kid, so I never hit that mark. Now, mind you, when I was doing stand-up and stuff like that, even then, so I'd sleep a little bit later because I'd be coming home later. That made sense.
Right.
But still, the imbibing definitely affects your sleep time.
Yeah, Nick, I only slept that late when I went to bed that late. Like, so if I was up till 3-4 o'clock in the morning, I was going to sleep till 2.
Yeah, I just got into bad sleeping patterns at that point in my life, too. And so, Preston, I think if you tripped and fell over me in the hallway, that probably would have woken me up. But then I would go back to bed.
I mean, come on.
Right. And slept it for a few more hours.
I mean, I got no grunt.
I kiss my wife every morning when I go to work. I go in and I've had conversations and I'll talk to her later on and I mean she's talking to me. Really? You came in?
I stopped kissing my wife goodbye recently because she has not been able to fall back asleep.
That's why I don't do that to Rochelle. Yeah. I know you guys have always done that, and I'm like, last thing I want to do is wake her up, and then she's going to stay up for the rest of that morning. So. Anyway, I just stand over and diddle myself.
All right.
Well, anyway,
it's gonna be a wet spot. Don't roll over.
Anyway, I'm assuming he's okay.
Nick, listen, you have other kids.
Yeah, I do. I got two other ones. Yeah.
Nick, when I was in college, my friend turned 21, and his parents decided to throw a party for him at their house. So we went to his house, and I was hammered, and I drank till probably 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. There was probably about an hour or so where I was only by myself doing it. And, I mean, the sun came up, and I passed out eventually. And they literally had to, probably at like 11 or 12 o'clock in the afternoon, they carried me to the car. Because this is in New Jersey. And they had to drive me back to her son. And they carried me to the car that I do not recall. And then when we got back to our dorm, I stayed in the car. I woke up at 5 o'clock at night in the back of this car.
Did you know where you were?
I probably took me a couple of seconds to go, oh my God.
5 in the evening,
Casey? Yeah, Kath. It was, you know, it wasn't one of my finest moments. I hit my friend in the head with a pool ball by accident. Yeah.
Like a billiard ball?
Like a billiard ball. And he was so mad at me. It was a bad load kind of a night. I got vegetable dip all over the ceiling. It was a
let me
bad,
ask you,
bad night.
What about the phenomenon of being at a party or, you know, it's at nighttime and then you miss an entire day and wake up at the following night unaware of how much time has elapsed?
It's scary when that happens.
That is I've been sick and have had that happen. Yeah. Sick. And it's incredibly disorienting. It's actually terrifying.
When you get blackout drunk, which it's happened too many times in my life. I used to think it was funny, and now I think it's terrifying because that's time. Like it's literally a blackout. There's no recollection. There's no memory whatsoever. It's scary looking back on it that you allow that to happen.
No, you know what's really, I don't know where you're going to head down this path, but
sorry.
What was an eye opener for me one time is there was video of me.
Oh no.
And I don't remember any of it.
That's how drunk you were.
And watching yourself.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Do things. I wasn't doing anything bad. I was just, you know, an idiot and talking. And I'm like, I saw it the next day and I'm like, I don't remember that at all from last night. That freaked me out.
Yeah. I'm going to derail this train.
No. You know what I was doing?
What?
I'm going to write a song.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to write a song right now. And I'm sitting here with, you know, with a pen and a notepad.
Oh, my God.
And I'm, like, writing and the pen is sliding off the paper. I was like, wow.
Who
dude.
Took the video? Or the
It was at University of Missouri, friend of mine. I was staying in his dorm room and we were underage and got into a bar.
Yeah.
And you know,
I was
mad because I've been buying this girl's drinks all night and she didn't hook up with me at the end of the night.
So you're gonna write a song, right?
Write a song about this.
This'll be a rock opera.
Do you remember what the song was
about?
No,
I don't remember what the song was about. I don't think it was about. I don't think anything was legible.
Yeah, nothing
was on the paper because I certainly don't remember it.
Oh my God.
I remember seeing the video. I remember seeing the video and going, "Wow, dude!" Flat out, don't remember that.
Is it?
That was scary.
I've heard that one of the quickest ways to get someone to really cut back on their drinking is show them video or play them audio of them drunk.
It helps.
When you see that,
you're like, it's mortifying. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. So that's what I'm like.
Yeah.
So you remember that's the David Hasselhoff thing. You remember the daughter when he was there with trying to eat a burger
and
on the floor with his shirt off.
Yeah.
And she did the video of him.
Well, now my life has changed so much. Now, like on a weekend, I will have been awake for hours. And I look at my watch. I'm like, oh, my God, it's only 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it's the middle of the afternoon.
Who is this
but
guy?
It's still the morning.
I heard the funniest story the other day from one of our sales people. I was on a phone call with him about a client thing. Anyway, he said he wakes up the other day. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. And his neighbor, he's down the shore. His neighbor, who likes to party a lot, is just blaring the Allman Brothers and like singing and dancing around on the front deck, and he yells out the window and he's like, dude, like, what are you doing? They're friends, so he can just like yell out the window, and he's like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm just partying, whatever. His wife comes back later. He said the dude had gotten so high and drunk the night before that he woke up and he thought it was 7 o'clock at night.
Oh my god,
man.
And started a party again.
Wow.
Because it's quarantine and none of us have or a lot of people don't have responsibilities, and it's just whatever. And you guys know how hard it is to find out what time exactly it is. If it's 7, and it's so light at 7 o'clock at night now that you don't know it's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Well, what we encounter a lot is because of the hours that we have. You go, I'm going to give him a call, and you look at the phone, and it's like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, that's right. No one else is up.
Do that.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's just, but what I have found, though, is because, you know, the weekends, yes, I like to partake. I love to have some beverages, relax, do all that. But on the occasions when I decide, you know what, I'm not going to tonight, and I wake up after a Friday night rather than having several beers and a couple cocktails, I wake up on that Saturday morning and it's like,
I am ready for the world today.
They're like a doe at the open window. And,
totally.
And do birds fly in with your clothing and put them on for you?
It's bizarrely, it's what it feels like, man. But 6 o'clock on Friday is like, oh, yeah. This feels good, too. let me go to, I'll go to Chris here. Hi, Chris, you're on the air. Good morning.
What's up?
Hey, man.
That's an oldie but goodie.
2020.
Where's the beef, Chris?
So I am guilty as charged when it comes to falling asleep and staying asleep. There's multiple videos of me being slapped around and not waking up.
Oops.
I slept, you know, a midnight trip down to Myrtle Beach for a golf trip, and I slept the entire way. And now that I have a 3-week-old, it's kind of terrifying because I don't know if I'm going to wake up when she starts crying and stuff. But so far, so good. And when my alarm does go off at like 4:30 in the morning, I'm right up, which is crazy. All but right. I can just straight up sleep. If you try to wake me up in the middle of the night, forget it.
Okay.
I envy you, man.
Steve, you remember the movie Fandango?
Yeah.
with Kevin Costner. Really good, quirky movie.
It's a really good movie, yeah.
There's a character in the movie. They're on this road trip. The guy's asleep for the entire movie.
Oh, that's right.
Until the very
that's
end.
That's right. Yeah.
He comes walking up and he's like, hey, I'm going to take off. I'll see you guys later on. That's all he says in the
Everything they go through.
Awesome. I forgot about that. I love that. And everybody's got a friend like that who can just sleep through
my brother-in-law, Anthony, is awesome. And, I mean, he can, in a room, I mean, our family get-togethers are like 50 people, a cacophonous sort of gathering, and he will be sitting there. Actually, all of Claire's, a lot of Claire's family will do that, can just pass right out. I guess they get used to it because they're from a big family.
Yeah.
Like, how the hell could you do
that? I guess so, yeah. If you've got all that kind of a house.
You have to, I guess.
Yeah. Let me see here. I will go to Don. Hi, Don. You're on the air.
Sorry to bother you guys at work.
No. Sick, bro. What's up?
Sick.
So I can sleep like the dead. And also, you get me in a car for more than 5 minutes, and I will pass out.
No kidding.
And it's not because I'm narcoleptic. It's just get me in a car as a passenger, and I will pass out. But the summer of 94 and summer of 95, I spent literally 12 to 16 hours out riding my bike. I would get up early in the morning and literally ride through Northeast Philly and go fishing or just ride. I'd come home, and I would sleep for 12 to 14 hours. Without, you know, my mom would come in just to make sure that I'm still alive.
Yeah.
But there's a few people who have slept upwards of 20 hours. And basically, she wouldn't bother me because she knew where I was. She knew I was asleep. So, you know, I'd come down, like Steve mentioned earlier, I'd come down 24 hours later, and it's the next day, and I'm like,
right. Okay. When you have to check out what day it is.
So, Don, that was a regular for that summer. You would sleep for 12 hours, 12 to 14 hours?
Yeah, I was probably, I was between 13 and 16 then.
Okay, so Jesus. all right, thanks, man. I appreciate it. There was an article, and it's pretty deep into my incidentals here, and junk drawer that I may not be able to find it. But it argues that with teenagers, you should just go ahead and let them sleep.
Really?
Which I found interesting. Because
why is that? Do they state a definitive reason?
I'm sure they do. It was a while back, and I'm going to have to sift.
And in the hallway?
I'm going to have to see. Man, I'm going to have to sift through this to find it. But I tell you what, my kids sleep a lot.
Does it address later start times for school? Is that part of the impetus for the conversation on this article? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember at all.
Or why there should be more bedding in your hallway.
Yeah, maybe that's part of it. let me sift through this, and then I'll go to a call here while we're waiting for that. I will go to Brian. Hey, Brian. Good morning, sir. Wow, we did the whole thing.
That's a great Nell impression.
What's up, bud?
Hey, so my friends were partaking in a few drinks one night, and I decided to join as well. And so they go to a diner, and they ask me if I want to go, and I replied with no. And they come back from the diner about, 2 hours later, and I'm gone. I have no idea. They have no idea where I'm at. I wake up. It's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's cars flying by me. And I'm on this couch. I'm like, what's going on? Somebody was throwing out a couch on the side of the road. I walked down the road and fell asleep on the couch.
Oh, my God.
So you were asleep on a thrown-out couch.
You did that on your own? Because I've heard of people, you know, like taking furniture outside in the middle of the night, putting people out somewhere. You walked down the street and found a couch.
Yeah, I was all about it. I woke up like 12 hours later. No idea where I was.
Oh, that's awesome.
They do that in the movie Meatballs, right? They take the guy out of his room.
And they put him on the platform out in the middle of the lake.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant.
But do you remember why you chose that couch?
Because that was the only couch someone was throwing out.
Okay. That was the only couch there, of course. It's like, why do you climb a mountain? Because it's there.
I know that, Nick, you used to like to find a quiet room and...
Or a loud room.
I mean, a loud room to go and fall asleep.
I passed out of Grape Street on the stage one time, you know? Like,
I know.
Yes, he did. That used to be the ongoing thing. We'd be at events and Nick would be asleep.
Yeah, quote-unquote asleep.
Yeah, quote-unquote asleep.
I had my sleeping phase. I've gotten better lately. But, you know, what just occurred to me is that when we do chainsaw wake-up calls or any version of the wake-up calls we've done over the years, those people often are really deep sleepers.
Yeah.
And they will come out of it sometime. I mean, you know, we've talked about the footage where the guy comes out throwing punches. They're on a different planet in that level of sleep. And that's why we have to send the wake-up crew in to get him out of it.
Yeah, my younger brother, when he was younger, and this, you know, wasn't like any sort of substance-induced sleep. It was just, you know, it was just the way he slept. He slept like the dead, but he also would wake up violent. Like, you would have
to. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's unpleasant.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's unpleasant. I mean, he didn't mean to be. It's just... If you were waking him
nightmare.
Up, you would have to sort of do it from afar.
The first job I had, my boss, her husband, I mean, she literally would do the mirror under the nose
to check
because he was such a sound sleeper with no visible signs, not a lot of air being exchanged. He literally slept like a corpse. Not that a corpse sleeps, but all the outward signs, it would scare the hell out of her.
I'm kind of jealous, though. I mean, that ability to get a deep sleep like that. Like
a deep near-death sleep.
Nick, you passed out at your own party one time. You had us over. This is years ago.
You didn't even go to
your
own bedroom. You went to a spare bedroom.
Yeah.
With like an air mattress.
Yeah, that was like 2005. Beginning of the time. You weren't invited to that party.
Yeah.
It was right when we started at MMR. But yeah, and that was back in the day when those types of things were happening, we were encouraging as a show people to draw on passed out victims. Remember?
We said draw Preston and Steve on your passed out.
We had
out
a whole
friend.
Section of drunk victims on the Preston and Steve Show website. Yeah.
And what's the rule on that? If you fall asleep with your shoes on?
Yep.
Yeah. And that's why, like, when I went to the Great American Beer Festival with the guys from Iron Hill, and they drew on me, and it was no fair whatsoever.
Because you had your shoes off.
Kathy, I went to my bedroom, my bed. In fact, the guy that drew on it was all planned and calculated. He decided to sleep on the floor in my room. I gave him a blanket and pillows off of my bed. And he was a Trojan horse, Kathy. Chris LaPierre was his name.
You bastard.
You evil person.
He was just being a jerk.
Yeah.
You violated the rule of drawing on people.
Yep.
Let me go to Phil. Hi, Phil. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Phil?
So, not a truly proud story, but I can sleep pretty much anywhere. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so a couple years back, a friend of mine was getting married. Everybody decides, let's go have a bachelor party in Vegas. So we get to Vegas. We get all dressed up, get a limo, wind up going out to the strip club, get just well wasted. I came out of the bathroom, and I thought they left and left me behind. So in my drunken wisdom, I wandered out of the strip club and started walking around Vegas. never been to Vegas in my life, so it was an experience. But as I'm walking, I decided, you know what, I've been walking a long time, and I'm kind of tired. And I found a chair. I'm gonna sit in this chair. This looks really nice and comfy.
Yeah.
And passed out. Woke up, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 minutes later, realized it's the parking attendant's booth at the Rio.
You were in the valet, the parking attendant booth. Oh my God.
Dude. I woke up and there's five guys looking at me. They didn't know to shake me, call the ambulance.
Dude. We got another drunk in the booth.
Yeah. Oh, that is great.
Phil, did you ever hook up with your friends?
Yeah, I found him at the hotel when I finally found a hotel.
I mean, that's right out of The Hangover.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally. That's great. Yeah,
that was great.
Thanks,
was
Phil. Great. Appreciate it, man. You know, the thing about my son, too, is he's a denier.
Yeah.
When it because he sleeps all the time, and when he's supposed to be doing something and he's sleeping. So I'll give you an example. This was yesterday, I think, at the same spot, top of the stairs, hallway, laying in the hallway,
in his
blanket on him, face down, phone off to the side. I thought maybe he was laying down watching a video or something like that. I'm like, Parker, what are you doing? I'm like, wake up. And he's just like, I'm not asleep. I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, he's laying face down.
Yeah.
Nothing. I'm just laying here. I'm like, you're sleeping. No, I'm not. He's a sleep denier. He always says he's not asleep when he's clearly passed out.
Right, right.
I'm not asleep.
I remember one time falling asleep face down, and it had absolutely no alcohol involved. Jace was little, and, you know, it was the times when he was getting up, even on the weekends at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning. And it was later in the afternoon. I remember he was playing in his bedroom, and I was like, I'll just lay on the floor while he plays. And I was face down. And I remember Dennis coming in going, wait, are you joking or are you actually sleeping? And I
was having a seizure?
And that's when you feel the most vulnerable. You know, you're what happened?
Yeah. But I always get that. I'm not asleep.
I'm not asleep.
I'm not sleeping, no.
I'm just checking out the carpet.
I lost something.
It's microfiber, Dad.
All right, one more quick call, and then we've got to wrap up. Although I do have to, now, as far as being passed out drunk, do you remember the guy down at the Wells Fargo Center was several years ago who fell asleep, had already started his car, clearly should not have been driving.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
And had his foot pinned on the accelerator while it was in park.
Yeah. Yes.
And it ended up, you know, smoking and seizing up on him. That was pretty, that's, you're wasted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go to Brad real quick. Hey, Brad, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How you doing, man?
Good. What's up, Brad?
Well, just another pass out story for you here.
Please do.
I used to, back when I was 20, lived with my mom. And she had a yarn shop that was also within our house. And back when I was 20, I used to, about every night, I used to go out and drink and smoke and get horribly wasted. One night came home that I don't even remember coming home, anything at all about coming home. But when I woke up and came to, I came to on top of this table in the yarn shop.
You were asleep.
I decided to pass out in the yarn shop on top of the table.
Were you woken? Did somebody wake you up, or did you wake up before someone discovered you?
No, thank God. I woke up before anybody came down and got that.
Dodged a bullet, man.
It was about 5 in the morning.
You dodged a major bullet. The last thing you need is the knitting club to show up and wake you up.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
I've had a couple doozies.
I've definitely, you know, gotten up and gone, all right, where am I? Uh-huh. You know, which is, that's pretty freaky, too. And then eventually you're like, oh, yeah. Okay. And then you figure it out.
I'm at the top of the steps.
Yeah. All right. So, I'll find out if what the status of him is in this next commercial break and let you know if he's alive or not.
Yeah, please. We'd like an update.
I tripped and fell on him this morning. He didn't budge. Didn't indicate that he was alive at all. And
not somebody, a sound.
Somebody texted in. That's the definition of not my problem. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have actress Mary Lou Henner. She's going to be doing the Bucks County Playhouse's virtual variety show on Sunday. So we will see what's going on with that. We'll be back in just a moment.
It's been a crazy school year, but no less demanding for our talented and dedicated teachers. For the 8th year in a row, the Preston and Steve Show presents their annual salute to the coolest teachers. Listen to MMR weekdays at 6:15 when the latest high school is revealed, prompting those students to vote for their favorite teacher. Upon him or her will be bestowed the honorary and official Preston and Steve Coolest Teacher coffee mug to proudly display on your desk, the one in your home, or in your classroom when you return. Details at PrestonandSteve.com. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your school.
Hey, reminder, coolest teacher of the year, Pensacola High School. Text us, text word teacher 39333. Let's see if you can nominate that person that's been special this past year, and you just might get them a very cool award, the coolest teacher of the year coffee mug. And also we have a $50 Uber Eats gift card for a secret text word today. So text word secret 239333. A few texty things going on. Our next guest is a veteran of stage and screen. She came by, when was that?
Anybody, 2014, six years ago.
6 years ago. Yeah. We loved it when she came in. And she would be back probably in person, but it's a virtual variety show that is happening at the Bucks County Playhouse.
Is it safe to say that she immediately entered the pantheon of our favorite guests?
I think she absolutely did. So please welcome Mary Lou Henner to the show this morning.
Hi,
Mary Lou.
Oh, I'm so sad I'm not there in person. We had so much fun last time. Oh, my gosh.
We absolutely did. We had a great time just talking about, you know, your career. And obviously, you remember every bit of it because you have that amazing memory, which has become, I mean, that's, do people ask you about that more or about your acting career more?
You know, it's so funny you're saying that because when one of the producers from 60 Minutes, when the first, you know, was first revealed years ago, one of the head people at 60 Minutes said, they will never ask her about anything else first.
Well, that was
always the first thing people talk to her about.
Yeah, well, that was a very salient observation because it is such an amazing thing. Now, I am a fan of the Hallmark Channel and the Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. I know I love the Christmas movies. I love all that stuff, and I love the you're part of the Aurora Tea Garden series,
exactly.
Right?
We just had our 13th movie on. It was like the highest rated movie they ever had. And now we were in the middle of shooting number 14 when the pandemic started. So they sent us home, and now we're going back in a few weeks to finish up 14.
Signs of normalcy returning. And that's with Candace Cameron Bure. And you know, I defy you. No matter how resistant or, you know, there's no way I'd get into that. They're just... they're fun and they're good
they are.
Yeah, and they're well done. So that's got to be cool.
And you can watch them with your family too. The whole family. Which is
I actually
even the murders.
I watch it with my cat.
You're right. They've delved into murders now,
yes,
which is
murders.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's true. No, it's funny. I'll very briefly tell you this. There's a rule that there are only five times the word kill or murder is in a script. So you'll say like, "Oh, I got one of the murders. Oh, I got one of the kills." And you never see red blood. You only see dried blood.
Ah.
And you never see somebody being killed. You just see, like, their legs afterwards or something.
Mary Lou, there should be a game where whoever gets murder or whatever in their script has to buy everybody coffee that day.
That's
or something,
a good idea.
You know?
Yeah.
I love that. That's murder in Hallmark land, but it's oddly reassuring.
Yeah. All right, so this virtual variety show, it is this Sunday, 7 p.m., and what are you guys going to be doing? What have they told you that you're going to be, what's going to be involved in this?
Well, I have a club act. They got to see it right before all of this started on March 4th at 54 Below in New York. I sing, I tell stories and everything else. So I'm doing one of the stories that I tell, which is like one of my favorite stories to tell about how I got into Grease, the original company of Grease, and then got into the national company and ended up performing in Philadelphia, as a matter of fact, years ago. And and so I'm telling stories, but also John Tartaglia from Avenue Q is going to be there, and Ben Funkhauser from Newsies, he's going to be singing. And you know, Bucks County Playhouse, there is no place like it on earth. It's just so special and so wonderful. I've been there many times. I've performed there during summers twice. And I'm going to be coming back as soon as all of this is over, probably next year. And it's just a magical, magical place. And they're open. The restaurant is open, which is so fabulous. You know, it's called The Deck. It's gotten permission to reopen this today. And when Pennsylvania goes green, they're going to start doing a series of films and concerts later this summer. So it's, you know, it's just they never stop.
So,
and they're wonderful.
And we've talked about this. We talked about this when you were here with us and you know, how great live theater is and how this theater in particular. And it's actually given us the platform or the opportunity to talk to people such as yourself coming into town. Now, you are obviously always, and we've asked people, especially who come on the show, who are always on the go, like Kevin Smith and other people. How have you adapted to the time of a quarantine? I'm sure you're biting at the bit to get out and about, but was there anything you discovered that you liked about being under quarantine?
How about scrubbing grout? That's my new favorite thing.
That's your new thing? Scrubbing grout.
No, but here it is. I'm here with six people. My third and final husband, my son, who's 25 and then turned 26. Now my 24-year-old son just showed up 2 days ago. And my brother and a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. The hardest thing has been the homeschooling because they're constantly on Zoom with their teachers.
Yeah.
So that's pretty crazy. But I've been doing all the cleaning and the cooking and the laundering. In fact, I'm happy my other son is home because he's a big cook too, so big chef.
How's your cooking game? You have the mad skills?
Well, I've done 3, New York Times bestselling cookbooks, so better.
That's right. That's right. I totally forgot. Yeah, wow. Yeah. You're top level.
Yeah. What do you not do?
I love to cook, but everybody's got a different palate and everybody's got different allergies, so it's it's like modular cooking, but it's really fun. I'm having
allergies.
A great time. I mean, no, it's I keep describing it like this. It's like when you go away with your family and you feel like, oh, I wish we had another few days or a week. It's like, oh yeah, we've had 3 months.
Yeah. Hey, Casey's right, Mary Lou. So what do you? So you sing, dance, act, cook. Do you play any instruments?
I don't play any instruments.
Okay.
And I'm not. I know what I do well. And I get to do those things a lot. It's so funny. My little 5-year-old niece, I had to help her with something. And so she didn't have one of the papers. And I said, oh, that's okay. I'll draw it. I'll draw the fish. Don't worry. And she said, Auntie Lou, these look like baseball bats. You do baseball bats fish.
Yeah, you can't have everything.
I can't do everything. Great at hair and makeup. Did all the plays at the kids' schools. But, yeah. But not much of an artist.
Okay. All right, so can I just double back real quick? Because sure. You said a name that I wanted to ask you a little bit more about. But did you say Ben Funkhauser is going to be doing this thing on...
Yes.
on all right,
yes.
So my daughter is... she's graduating 8th grade today, and she is she's a huge theater kid, loves and is obsessed with Newsies.
Yes.
So Newsies, Disney did a filming of the musical, and
right.
It's on the Disney Plus app, and she's probably watched it 50 times. So can you tell me what he's doing so that...
He's singing? He's singing, yeah. So she definitely has to tune in. That's so fabulous.
And
yeah.
So we could do that on Facebook or on the website?
Yes, Facebook or the website for Bucks County Playhouse. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Do you have any indication as to what Bucks is thinking about launching with? I mean, obviously everything is incredibly... Well, things are starting to crystallize a little bit, but do they have any indication of what they're going to return to?
Well, they're going to do movies first and then, live theater because... Movies are a little bit easier to do, of course.
Right.
But everything's kind of like creeping back. You can feel it. I mean, Candace and I have to go to Vancouver and quarantine for 2 weeks, but it's like, hey, it's worth it. We can get back to work.
You know, under the whole thing with the quarantine, a lot of people have been, there has not been a lot of new stuff released as everything has sort of been put on hold. So people are kind of going into the archives, and a movie of yours that is we all love as a guilty pleasure, not a guilty pleasure, we're proud of it. Johnny Dangerously, I've seen pop up more now than ever. People finally discovering that movie. Have you been sensing that?
You know, it's so funny. That has become, at the time, it didn't get much love,
yeah.
But it's become such a classic. And we all loved it. We love doing it. I always say when the wrap party is 24 hours long and the director shows up wearing a dog collar,
wow.
You know it was a fun shoot.
Okay.
A.B. Heckerling was a blast, and she created this environment. And we all loved it. And we thought, why isn't it a big success? And now it's become much more of a success. People stop me about that movie all the time. People will say, you know what? We can always tell somebody's going to fit into our family. We show them Johnny Dangerously. If they get it, they're in.
Mm-hmm.
If not, forget it.
There's loads of memes of you Fargan ice hole.
Yeah,
and all.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff is just great, but it's just it's weird. It's got to be weird in your career, which has obviously spanned so many things, to have something that you sort of, okay, well, that's back there, and now just to see it pop up all of a sudden.
I know, it's great. And I'll have to tell you, Griffin Dunn, right? He
yes.
plays Johnny's brother in it, and he's on This Is Us right now, and he's such a brilliant actor. The funniest human being I've ever worked with in my entire life, funnier than Michael Keaton, whom I adore.
Griffin Dunn?
Yeah. Griffin Dunn
okay.
is a natural comedian. He's so funny. So when you watch that, just remember that.
All right, he's great in the movie.
They're all great. Everybody's great. Yeah. My brother said that to me once.
Joe Pisco, yeah.
Mary Lou, I'm reading this book called Letters from an Astrophysicist. It's by Neil deGrasse Tyson. It's really easy and digestible. And he talks a lot about how terrible people are as eyewitnesses. And they just accept for the people that have photographic memories or eidetic memories. And every time I read that, I think about you, of course. And I'm curious as to whether or not you've ever been called upon by law enforcement or had to be a part of like a trial or something like that? Because
well,
your memory is so good.
Two times I was asked to be part, you know, to do a deposition. And afterwards, both times, the cases were thrown out because they said, no, she remembers too many specific details. I was no, we're never going to win. We're never, no. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, we better settle because, yeah.
That is wild.
Okay. Two times.
Let's test one thing from you. This is the only, because I looked at a photo of you when you were here with us July 14th, 2014.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember what you were wearing, what color blouse you were wearing that day?
Oh, it was turquoise or peach because I changed it, wasn't it? It was one of the two.
It wasn't peach.
But.
No, it wasn't turquoise either.
Oh.
It was like a mint green.
Yeah, with black.
With black, yes.
Yeah, turquoise.
What, did you get
turquoise?
Turquoise.
Oh,
turquoise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's turquoisey in real life.
No, you're
okay. Okay. All right, yeah, I'm looking at a picture. It could have been
turquoise. I don't wear those weak colors. I used to wear something like a little more vivid.
Well, yeah, you're always dazzling.
Black, with like little black buttons and everything. Yeah.
Do you remember what we were wearing by any chance?
I just remember how much fun we all had.
Okay. I would imagine, listen, you can't, it's not like everything sensory overload. You have to pay attention and then you remember it, I would imagine.
Yeah. I wonder, Mary Lou, did you ever see that there's a movie, a Stephen King movie called Dreamcatcher, and they sort of depict going through a guy's memory, and it is this almost massive library with card catalogs, and he's trying to protect thoughts from being stolen by this alien. And when you're recalling, is that a process in your mind?
Like
are you seeing this like a file, or how does it present itself to you?
It's sort of like I always say it's like scene selection on a DVD. You know, it's like cues up, and then it's like the movie runs, and I sort of feel it, and everything is sort of processes that way. Like it'll just go in a timeline, sort of chronological way. Or goes deeper and deeper.
How far back does that go into your life?
Very, very young. Like,
okay.
You know, super young. I mean, yeah.
All right, I have a question about you being young, and you're a famous redhead. Your hair color is one of the things that stands out.
Yeah.
Are you a natural ginger, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, my son is super, super ginger, so I'm not as super ginger as he is. I mean, he is, like, ridiculous.
Because most of the redheads, I remember girls that were redheads, I remember. In middle school, high school, and so forth, you just kind of, and then they turn out to be gorgeous later on.
I hope so. and I keep saying to my to Joey, you better marry a fellow ginger, because they're a dying breed. Come on, we got to keep it going, you know, because it so obviously comes from my side of the family. Yeah, and you know, I had like very auburnish hair when I was a girl, and then my mother said, we could pop. She was a hairdresser and a dance teacher, and she said we could pop this up a little bit. And then it's like I started working a lot, so it's like, ooh. You know,
yeah.
But I'm not as ginger as Joey, but I'm pretty ginger.
Okay. Does he come with the pale skin and all that too?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And blue eyes, which is becoming more and more rare.
Right.
Yeah, and freckles and everything. I had to dip him in sunblock like a flea dip.
Totally.
Because he was an athlete.
Well, you know, it used to be only the kids like that would have to, they'd be wearing their shirts at the beach and so on and so forth. And now everyone realizes the threat of skin cancer.
Yeah.
And so everyone's following suit. So now it's the trendy thing to do.
Yeah, I know. No, I took good care of it. It's like, okay. And his brother, who is naturally darker skin and follows more of the Greek side of the family, he said, you know, he'd say, Joey, mom's going to be dead by the time you have skin cancer, but I'm going to have to suffer with you. So you better put on that sunblock.
Wow, that's profound.
Mary Lou, I don't want to ruin the show that you're going to do on Sunday, and you're going to talk about Grease and the Broadway production of that. So I don't want to, you know, steal any of the stories that you're going to share about that. But that movie and stage show are so beloved.
It's crazy.
They did the live version of it, which, Steve, you absolutely fell in love with.
Yeah, with Juliana Hough, right?
Yeah, Juliana Hough. And not that long ago, my daughter, who was 12 at the time, we just decided, hey, let's pick a movie and watch. And she wanted to see Grease, and we watched it. And I hadn't watched it from beginning to end in decades. And I absolutely loved it. What is it that resonates? What is it that's so great about that show that in your mind?
You know what's so funny is I did the original company in Chicago even before it was on Broadway.
Wow.
Or I knew it was in high school, and I got a call about doing the original company because I'd worked with someone who was like a lot older than I was in community theater, and he said, Henner, I've written this show. It may never get off the ground. We're going to perform it in the converted trolley barn. I wrote it about the kids I went to high school with.
Wow.
Anyway, So we did it, and it was such a Chicago show, I didn't think it was going to be a hit. So the fact that it's become this huge phenomenon, I guess because everybody has a high school experience. Everybody is one of those kids, especially if you know the play, which has, it's much more of an ensemble show than the movie was. And so everybody had their moment in that play. And, you know, I think everybody was, you know, a Danny or a Sandy or a Rizzo or a Marty or a Doody or, you know, one of those things. And so I think because everybody feels like they went to high school with those kids, their version of it, I think it has resonated for all those years.
Who were you? I'm sorry to interrupt. Who did you portray?
I played Marty. Okay. The one who, like, come, you know, she's Marty Maraschino. My love. Well, no, she's called Mary Margaret Hawk or Mary, yeah.
Oh.
It was not, that was totally made up. But,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
For the movie. Very okay. Different. The play is so different from the movie.
Okay.
So,
and
yeah.
Is it the case, because I know that people, because I think I saw a production of the original plays, the original musical is a lot more
raunchy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
So much more.
And
they had to clean it up. And the Chicago production was even worse.
So, did you ever have people who you know were familiar with the movie, or I mean, I don't know with this, you know, how many productions you've done since, or I know the people who were familiar with the movie who actually did see the original production after the fact are like, gee, oh my god,
yeah,
it's a big difference.
Big difference. Yeah, and they softened it for the movie, of course, and sort of made it, you know, very like easy for the kids to see. Yeah. But yeah, I think, and then even after that, even after the movie came out, they softened it for Broadway with the next incarnation that they did.
Okay, you know, and so you're going to be sharing stories about the your time
in
that original
company, and then how I got into the national company. Because it's a really great story.
Well,
and who's in it with me and everything else. So
sounds like it's going to be great. I mean, if we can't have the real thing, if we can't have all of it, you know, the way we'd like to have it, this is seems like a really good substitute.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's great that they're so smart. I mean, Robin Goodman and Alex Frazier, they're just brilliant over there, and they're always like so thinking of the audience and what would they like to see. So I'm excited that your daughter's going to get to see Ben.
Yeah. it's Bucks County Playhouse's website, so it's bcptheater.org, and it's going to be this Sunday at 7 p.m. So
yes.
That's very cool. And Casey, you and Casey will be watching.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we definitely have to.
And you know what, guys? I'm coming back to do my club act, so I have to come and see you.
Without question.
Not for the whole morning.
Absolutely.
I'll even sing one of the songs or something.
Oh, man.
So that, you know, get everybody going about it.
Excellent. Listen, you're one of our favorites. Thank you so much,
I know.
Mary
I remember
Lou.
We had such a fun time with Mandy that day, and, yeah, it was such a great time.
We will do it again. Thank you, Mary Lou.
You got it.
Appreciate it. Mary Lou.
Yeah, she's just awesome.
She is fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. That's excellent. All right. She is a very talented woman. I saw a story about another one, and I wanted to make sure that this got in today before we wrap the show. But a woman named Catherine Sullivan, after making history as the first American woman to walk in space, she has made history again. She's the first woman to reach the deepest known spot under the ocean.
Wow.
In the Mariana Trench?
I don't know where this is. It's called Challenger Deep. Sullivan first made history on October 11th, 1984, when she became the first woman to walk in space, and she has also conquered the deep, successfully descending to Challenger Deep, the lowest known point on Earth.
Wait, so you said she walked in space?
Uh-huh.
And then she walked down to the bottom of the ocean.
Seriously, she's literally been from one point to the next.
She is the first woman and only the eighth person in history to actually reach this area called Challenger Deep.
Wow.
So far fewer people than have been into space. And the first human ever, and the first person ever to have been into space and the deepest point in the ocean.
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
You know, and the case has been made. I don't know. It was been made for years. I don't know if it's the situation now, but there's so much we don't know about the planet we're on and the extreme depth of our oceans. And it's one of the most fascinating things, what is down there. I know that there's a race of Aquaman. I saw a movie.
Ah, yes. Listen, how far down she went is 6.8 miles down.
Where's that located?
I would die halfway down.
It's the Marianas Trench. Yeah.
Okay.
The lowest known point on Earth.
Wow.
There was, Steve, you probably remember it. I believe the name of it was called Life, and Oprah Winfrey voiced it. This was years ago. Yes. And there was, I don't know, I don't think they went here. Well, obviously not if this is the first woman to do this, but they went to parts of the ocean that, like, most divers don't go to. There's not much, many videos from there. And it was one of the best series that I ever watched. It was absolutely beautiful. I mean, the things that you saw down there, and listen, I get it, they're scuba divers, but these places were, like I said, not very many videos exist of them, and it was unbelievable what you could see.
Oh, it was a great series, and it's otherworldly. You would, if someone were to say this footage came back from another planet, you'd say, oh, okay, because that's, I mean, you're seeing stuff that you have not seen mm-hmm. before, but I mean, yeah, you'd think with all the technology and all that stuff that you would, this would be a more routine thing, but it's not.
For perspective, Nick found this stat. If Mount Everest, the highest mountain on Earth, were placed at this location, it will be covered by over 1 mile of water.
Mm.
That's how much of a difference.
Do you ever see the series where they talk? It was basically what would it be like if they drained the water from the world, and what those and the mountain ranges and the massive. I just it's astonishing.
Yeah. I would like to see a picture of that, of, you know, a artist rendering or whatever. What
Pornhub.com.
Pornhub.com/
an artist rendering of what that would look like.
A lot of it's not mapped accurately because they just haven't. Sure. Because, Steve, to your point earlier, it's so vast and they just don't have...
It's hostile.
But, like, even with all the technology
they ride huge seahorses.
Right?
Oh, my God.
You saw the documentary.
Oh, yeah. God. And I believe that's where they dropped, is it Megatron or Optimus Prime?
It was Megatron.
I mean,
there's a lot of stuff that's going on that clearly is volatile at this point. Warring factions. That's one of the things I loved about Aquaman is that, I mean, there's lighting like nobody's business. I mean, you know, and like no one has said, we're having trouble finding where they really. We can get a street sign from space. We can't find this place.
Yep.
That's why it's hard to believe Aquaman.
She had said, by the way, Catherine Sullivan is a hybrid oceanographer and astronaut. This was an extraordinary day, a once a lifetime day, seeing the moonscape of the Challenger.
It's amazing.
And then then comparing notes with my colleagues on the ISS about their remarkable, reusable outer spacecraft. And for the achievement, she and retired U.S. Navy Officer Victor Vescovo descended Challenger Deep by boarding what is called Limited Factory, two-person submersible, and safely returned to the surface.
How long?
The first people to reach Challenger Deep, by the way, were Swiss oceanographer Jacques Picard and U.S. Navy Lieutenant Dom Walsh. They did that back in 1960. So
this is amazing.
Upon completing the dive, Sullivan and Vescovo celebrated by making a phone call to the International Space Station.
Interesting to the bottom of the ocean. There's a lot of pressure down there. How you guys doing up there?
I mean, if you talk about atmospheres... So, you know, the kind of craft that can make it down there. But, like, for example, to take the trip down to Titanic takes, what, 5.5-6 hours or something like that?
I'm not sure.
What would it – and that's nowhere near as deep as this.
Yeah.
How long a travel time from the surface to the bottom of Challenger Deep?
Good question. It didn't indicate in the article, but it takes a lot of tech.
I gotta say that it's got a lot of pressure.
The pressure is so intense, you can't even imagine.
Weight of all that water.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, the kind of device, that's the one thing. I guess the real thing is, you know, taking a whiz. I mean, you gotta, at some point, you can't. There has to be a facility. There's some sort of porta pot there where you.
Oh yeah, I would imagine
you can't go outside.
Yeah, I would think so. So, but that's an amazing achievement. This woman was able to do that. Be the first female to walk in space, and then be the first human to do both walking in space and to reach Challenger Deep.
Do you think you could? Do you think you would have the stuff to if given the shot at it, knowing that it would be safe, obviously? Would you go down to that depth?
Yeah, I think I could do that. Yeah, I think I could do that more so than space flight. I would enjoy space flight more,
right.
I think, because of zero G or microgravity or whatever you want to call it. As opposed to, because it's pitch black dark. It's yeah. You don't see anything going right. down that deep from what I understand. I guess they have lights. I can't see
it. But they have the vast lighting
yeah.
array.
Yeah. You can only see so far, but it'd be pretty amazing. But I think the sensation of going up
yeah.
would be pretty hard to top.
In that series, Preston, one of the spots underwater, it's so far down, like you said, it's like pitch black, but for whatever reason, there's like a tiny hole of light, so you can see just this beam of light that shoots down, but it's very small. It was, it was pretty interesting.
Wow. It's astonishing, and then you get all the way down there, there is life.
Let me see here. This text says, Look at Kathy giving all kinds of F's about science. If you have the right documentary,
yeah,
it can
Oprah
work
has
for
to
her.
Be in it.
Yeah. And Oprah's got to be a part.
You get
of
a deep dive, and you get a deep dive.
All right, so you know how when you take a cup and you put it upside down and you submerge it into the water,
yes,
and air stays in,
and
it.
The air stays in that.
You wanted that to be explained.
And here we go. No, I'm not.
And the journey begins.
Suppose you got like a giant bucket that you could fit people into. How far could you go down with like and still stay?
It's not a stupid question at all. That's how
diving bell.
How diving started.
Yeah,
and so the two things that are working against you are water displacement and the pressure above. And so you can only go down so far before
the water goes up.
The water comes up. Yeah. Or the pressure of the water surrounding you would be
crushes
a problem.
It.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but I think you could probably, with an overturned bathtub, go to the Challenger Deep.
Challenger Deep.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, how it's big of a bathtub? How big?
It's got to be like iron or something.
Yeah.
Something.
Like that. Yeah. Iron. Or like cold bath fitters.
But no, he's right. That's how diving began.
All right. Yeah. I need to see what a diving bell looks like.
Okay.
Well, an actual diving bell almost looks like a landmine. You know. Like an ocean mine. Like
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, here's one that kind of looks like the top of a missile, Casey.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Or an uncircumcised penis.
Well, I'm going to get something that, like, multiple people can fit in. This one is kind of tiny.
Okay.
We're getting in the penis now.
Yeah. But I would imagine you don't have very long because your air is going to run out pretty quick.
Retract the foreskin so we can see.
Unless they can pipe air down to you. And then I don't know how that all
works. I always like those things, those devices. Resorts will do them where you basically put on the helmet and they have the hose running to the surface and you can, you know. It's not full scuba diving. It's you're tethered by the air hose to the surface.
Yeah, that's. I think it's called snuba.
Yeah.
What was the word I came up with? Is snookle or snookle?
Snookle.
That was it. Yeah. That was where we got snookle. Yeah. I didn't know that.
That's where you dive the snookle.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Snuba.
That should be your company, Nick. Dive snookle.
Yeah. The snorkel and scuba hybrid.
Yeah.
All right. Another quick story, and this has nothing to do with doing wonderful feats of science and being the first, but it is a news story follow-up, and maybe you saw this. Lori Vallow and her husband Chad Daybell.
Yeah, this is a story I guarantee you heard at some point. You may not remember it, but
it's insane.
Yeah, they've been arrested and charged with a felony count of destruction or concealment of evidence after human remains were recovered from his property on Tuesday. This is the couple where the two kids were missing.
Yeah, it was a 17-year-old and a 7-year-old.
And they just took off and left. And they said the kids are fine. And they didn't answer any questions. They got away. And then they rounded her up.
She was in like Hawaii.
She was in Hawaii, exactly. So they found human remains at his property. Now, they don't know whose they are. I haven't seen news reports that they're of young people or anything like that.
And they're not letting that information out.
Yeah. Yeah, they haven't said, they haven't identified them yet. There's, you know, they have like tents and, all the equipment that was brought in to help dig up where they supposedly found these remains. I saw a video of it yesterday of her. She's already in custody because they had gotten her on abandoning her children and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So she was already in custody. So I don't know if this was a video that was taken prior or if it was from yesterday after the new charges. But she was smiling, laughing, said something to her attorney and like kind of smiled and chuckled a little bit. And you could even see her lawyer
ratchet that
smile.
Down,
like,
dummy.
We shouldn't be smiling right now.
Can you guys please refresh my memory on this? Because none of this is ringing
all right. I'll run down the situation, but they have, now you all have to remind me why they nicknamed her the cult mom.
Uh, be-
Go ahead,
Catherine. Sorry. No, I was just read about it, Steve.
Go
sorry.
Ahead. I'm just vaguely up to speed on it.
So she, after her, there, so both of her and her new husband, both of their spouses had this mysterious death. So her spouse, her former husband, originally said that she was getting into this cult-like behaviors she was, showing and aimed. She was doing these videos online about, biblical, the end of times and,
right.
and the end of time and things like that. So he had first brought that to light, and then he was killed. He was shot and killed. And then the guy that she married, his wife also died mysteriously.
Yeah, in fact, it says here, Lori and Chad are being investigated for conspiracy, attempted murder, and murder in the death of Chad's first wife, Tammy Daybell, who mysteriously died at one of their homes in October.
Jeez.
They began searching for the children in late November after performing a welfare check ordered by concerned relatives who said they hadn't spoken to 7-year-old JJ, who's autistic, by the way, or has autism, I should say, in months. When officers first went to Lori's home in Idaho on November 26, she told them that JJ was visiting relatives in Arizona, which investigators say was a lie. Officers returned the following day and found that Lori and the man she married weeks later, Chad Daybell, had fled, and that's when they were off.
So both of their spouses mysteriously die. They get married like 2 weeks later. The kids are missing,
mm-hmm.
and now they find remains on his property.
Yep, exactly. So this is the second time that they've searched his home during their 7-month hunt for the missing kids. It was too soon to say whether the remains belong to the children, Joshua, JJ Vallow, and Taylee Ryan, who were last seen in September, by the way. Officers were continuing to search the home for any further evidence related to the case. An autopsy is going to be carried out on the remains in the coming days, so maybe they'll release that information. I don't know. But aerial footage that you were talking about, Kathy, showed investigators digging up soil around what appeared to be a well in the backyard.
And it's a fairly big yard. It appears to be, at least.
She's spent the last 4 months behind bars on charges of abandonment, like Kathy said, and desertion. She and Chad, who it says here, the prolific doomsday author, alleged cult leader and former gravedigger whom she married less than 2 months after the kids vanished, have repeatedly refused to say where the children are, but insist that they are safe somewhere.
Yeah, so he was apparently a writer. He wrote several books and focused like on those scenarios and like the church theology and all that.
Wow. All right. Here's a text that says, science and murder expert. Who is the new Kathy?
Listen, I should have been a detective.
Yeah.
I love doing this stuff. I'm like, I want to help
them out. I'm not touching that.
As long as you don't have to hug anybody.
Evidence. I'm not touching that.
Which, speaking of hugging, by the way, and we'll keep an eye on that story. This is according to a Belgian virologist, Mark van Ranst, says that hugging is less risky than giving a handshake.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Than giving a handy. Yeah.
Great news.
In the wake of the pandemic.
Hand jobs are back on the table.
He also advises saving hugs for the people you have an affinity with. So there you go.
Right.
That's Kathy's.
That's me. Yep.
Thought process. And
Kathy had to shutter her hugging booth at the curb.
Notes that people probably won't have missed the obligatory handshake anyway. Van Ranst made the statement as Belgium announced on Monday that its citizens may see 10 other people per week as the country relaxes its nationwide lockdown. I don't know. I've felt odd when I've on a couple of gatherings, small gatherings, or seeing people not shaking hands or being introduced to somebody for the first time and not shaking their hand. I mean, it's not the end of the world. It just feels a little bit odd, you know?
Yeah. I think, listen, we'll see. We'll see what the deal is. I mean, we talked about yesterday. I think at some point the need for that hugging and all that will, you need it. In fact, we know there's a medical benefit to it. So we'll find some way.
Yeah, but the
shaking, as long as handies are still on the table.
Shaking of the hands is more dangerous than a hug, by
use
the way.
Use your hands to shake other things.
One last thing, and then we'll have to take a break in a moment. And Kathy, here this speaks to you again. It has to do about clothing and shopping and so on.
Oh, my God.
The Gap recently announced that it is using what's called a pack-and-hold strategy on its spring and summer inventory after being forced to temporarily close its stores due to the pandemic. So if you thought you were going to get a lot of clearance items when they reopen. That's not the case at the Gap. It might be the same thing at other stores as well. So rather than sell the clothing that's been sitting in the stores at a deep discount, Gap is choosing to store the clothes and put them back out next spring. So the spring fashions you missed out on.
I know. I'm not sure I'm loving this because well, then they're going to look dated.
From a business, but some of the stuff like jeans and stuff are just jeans, you know. So, but from a business sense, it does make sense because...
It's funny. I was just having this conversation yesterday and we were wondering what is going to happen to all of these clothes because there were also reports that some of the warehouses were shut down, so they weren't going to be able to get the merchandise. So now are they jumping, you know, right into, because you get just a little bit into summer and the fall stuff is already out.
It's funny because a little while ago, maybe a week or two weeks ago, I don't know how long it was, but it was, they did a feature on Ikebucci Case, the formal wear, and the guys are great and they always help us out. But in their display windows were St. Patrick's Day tuxedos.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By the way, Tommy Hilfiger and Calvin Klein said that they may be considering doing the same thing.
That's interesting. That's really, like, almost the whole, all of the fashion trends didn't get a chance to thrive, so they'll just bring it back next year.
Maybe they're going
to
try and do that.
Maybe this is the time to pick up your summer snorkel jacket.
Right. Business Insider notes that for the pack and hold strategy to work, retailers have to work with inventory that is basic enough to still be in style for the following year, Kat. So they want to stick with the basic stuff.
And pack and hold is a strategy you can use in the bedroom as well, right, Preston?
Yeah, you can. It says, as apparel brands usually rely on the idea that they're offering the newest and trendiest styles in order to appeal to shoppers.
Huh.
It's funny. You guys have seen The Devil Wears Prada, right?
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, I love it.
I do.
There's a part where... The main character
Anne Hathaway.
Not Anne Hathaway.
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep's character is describing to her, because Anne Hathaway's new to this, and she says, I don't get it.
Right, yeah.
And she describes to her essentially how this works, how the very thing she's wearing right now was something that was chosen by her from other people like 3 years ago, and she didn't even know it. And she gave her a quick rundown of, oh, yeah, they were highlighting this color, and it took off in this, and blah, 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 that. And then it eventually made its way after the runways and all this stuff. It eventually made it into the bargain bin where you picked it up.
Right.
That shade of blue. Know. The cerulean blue.
Yes, cerulean blue.
It's fascinating.
Yeah,
and
it is.
True.
And it's how that stuff works.
Yeah.
Because there is it's big business, and they have their method.
That was our entree into radio. We all came from the world of high fashion.
Some analysts think the strategy will work for Gap, but would likely not work for more niche brands.
Right. Exactly.
What about food places?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Save the chicken salad from spring for next year.
Oh, this must be their St. Patrick's Day chicken salad. It's green. All right. Anyhow, we need to take a break because I got some bizarre file stories I don't want to share. There's a really good one I'm going to lead with.
Awesome.
I almost got to it in the last one. I'm like, I'm going to hang on to this one. So we will have that when we return. And don't forget the secret text word today. We have a chance to win a $50 Uber Eats gift card courtesy of FX on Hulu. Text the word secret to 39333. And we'll send the word to you and I ask you to call in with it in a little bit. That's not too far off. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Weezer.
Well, everybody needs a hero. But I'm not everybody else. I walk alone.
Bad Wolves.
But I'm getting sober. Trying, but I can't get closer. Baby, did you let me go?
Incubus.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I just wanted to mention that I miss our Daily Rush videos. They're not happening as often because we don't have anybody here to run the video equipment because we're still, you know, keeping the numbers kind of thin in the office. And but there was one that came out. I watched it yesterday. It's about the most isolated man in history.
Yes.
Who was an astronaut. I forgot his name. Was on Apollo 15.
It was, was he on the far side of the moon? And,
yeah, it was while they were on the surface and he was in the capsule.
Right.
So he was further away from any human being, alone, farther away than anybody ever has been. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I was just cracking up. So I hope someday soon we'll be getting our Daily Rush videos back more often.
Yeah.
But
I like the graphic.
And whoever edited it, I don't know if that was Nick Murphy or not, but it's excellent. It's just the way he zooms in on some stuff. So if you haven't seen it yet, go watch that on PrestonandSteve.com. And also, Casey, how much time do we have? Because this we got plenty of time. Mm-hmm. We don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but I did want to mention it before the day gets past us. Casey pointed out the fact that today is Delco Day.
Oh! Yeah. It's 6:10.
6:10.
Is that the area code?
So when we went, probably back in 93, right, Nick?
There were two, I believe.
It was like 215.
Yeah, there were four area codes in the state, in the mm-hmm. entire state. There was 215, 717, and then whatever the two in the western part of the state.
Right, and then around 1993, we were required to dial all 10 digits, including the area code. And so that's when Delaware County was designated a 610 area code.
Okay.
And
is this known amongst Delaware County? Countyans?
It should be.
Amongst the elders.
If you're worth your weight in salt and you're a Delaware County resident.
Okay. Here's the thing. I think that it expanded beyond Delaware County, but Delaware County is the only county that claims it. I think that it was in the suburbs all around Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mean now or back then?
No. Back then. Even back then. But Delco has such pride that they're like, no, this is our thing.
This is ours.
Well, yeah, you know, that it used to be, so for a while, it was all the rage to wear your area code. On clothing.
The 212 New York and LA had everybody with, the three. Yeah, I remember
the 310 in LA. If you lived in the Valley, you were an 818 number and you were a loser. But if you lived in the nice part of LA, you had a 310 number.
Right.
It signified class on some levels.
And New York was 212, I think. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Delco is Delco fully? No, it's
well, we're looking at the map.
No. Yes, Delco. If you have a landline, your area code is 610.
All right.
And Preston, do you know what the area code is in Cape Canaveral?
321.
Yeah,
that's right. I remember that. Yeah.
That's great.
It's awesome.
It's a cute little piece of trivia.
Did you have fun dialing a number? Did you notice what it was? Like liftoff, right? She lived in Cape Canaveral.
No, I wasn't sure if that's part of, like, because you have like a bunch of Delco shirts and things like that. Is 610 incorporated in that anywhere?
I think I might have a 610 T-shirt, but I think I wore it once and I have no idea where it is now.
Okay,
And it's like in the Run DMC font.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
But other people know this is a thing?
Straight out of Springfield.
That's what I was curious about.
Okay. Yeah, he's not really answering that.
Yes. Yeah, Kathy. Yeah, so my Delco T-shirt provider over at Primitive T-Shirts, they have a post on Instagram wishing everybody in Delaware County a happy 610 day.
I'm curious as to why Delco are the only people that celebrate it. Because
we're Delco and we're weird like that.
Gotcha.
You know? Yeah. We like numbers.
They're looking for something.
Something, man.
I mean, I live in Delco right now, too. So I probably should take more pride in this.
A lot of people are pointing out, yes, it's not just Delco. But the part of the conversation you're missing is 610 started in that area. From what we understand.
Well, no, it didn't. That's what it started in that area as well. But that was my point, is that the only people who claim that it started in that area are the Delco people.
So what's the story, Case?
I don't know.
Well, because everyone got an area code at the same time.
Including 610. It expanded into Chester County and Montgomery County and Berks. But Delco claims that it's a Delco thing. And that's where I'm thrown off by it.
Yeah, it's ours.
You shouldn't be, Nick. It's Delco.
Hey, listen, we let you guys, Delco, we like to share. And we let our surrounding areas.
Isn't there a sign that says sharing our area code since 19?
Yeah, whatever? Since 1993.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's so funny. I guess every now and then I try to understand it, and I don't, and it's fine, you know. But
it's
Delco pride thing.
The Delco pride thing is, to me, I think I started it.
Oh,
shit. Oh,
nice.
Chuck is losing his crap in the other. I'm looking at him behind the glass. He's just he's dying over
you
there.
You believe you started Delco Pride?
I'm pretty sure I started the overwhelming Delco Pride. Yes, yes. I'm fairly
and
sure
I invented
started,
paper plates.
I did not invent paper plates, but I did invent during Money Money. You know when people yell F and Bull S?
Yeah.
I started that.
You started.
Invented Post-its.
I had to. No, you didn't.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Listen, there is a lot of pride from people that come from Delaware County. And although you think you created it, Casey, I just remember in college, some of the people that I went to school with that were from Delaware County and then meeting Casey years later, I was like, oh, my God. They're all the same.
Yeah.
Like not in a bad, really not in a bad way, but I just specifically remember like thinking of the people I went to school with and then meeting Casey when I started working with you guys. And I'm telling you, they're all very similar.
There are certain towns that have that. And I love it. I love when I was in Manayunk, Roxborough, definitely. There's that, you know, just in towns, that town pride. You know.
So may I ask, since today 6/10 is Delco Day, what should one do to celebrate?
I'm sober now, so I wouldn't do this anymore, but right. I would definitely find a park bench and smoke a bowl out of it.
I think people should text in or call suggestions of what you should do to celebrate Delco Day.
6/10 Day.
I would be interested.
Well, you know, definitely brush your teeth for the year, you know?
Right, yeah. Right. Let's find out. I'll do the bizarre file, and then maybe right. if we get some good suggestions, we can take a look at that.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
All right, brought to you this morning by HERS, the official chip of taking your summer to the next level when it comes to snacking this summer. Keep it Philly, and make it HERS. HERS, forever good. All right, here's a story I was telling you about. A birthday weekend threesome came to an abrupt end on Friday when the 19-year-old celebrant pulled a male acquaintance, quote, off the other woman by his genitals.
Whoa.
And threw him on the floor.
Oh, what?
Of a La Quinta Inn hotel room.
So this is a threesome gone wrong.
Uh-huh. And she threw him around by his genitals. Responding to a 911 hang-up call from the hotel, cops spoke with the birthday girl who said that she had invited a 19-year-old male friend to spend the weekend with her in Myrtle Beach. A woman named Mary Jane told police that her friend, Yahim, had arrived. It's either Yahim or Jahim, but I'm going to go with Yahim. In Myrtle Beach before her, and he had been, quote, spending time with another woman before she got there. The report notes that's what started the whole argument. Yahim told officers that he and Mary Jane agreed to have sexual relations with the other woman. Mary Jane, however, did tell cops that the second woman had a pistol in her handbag. During the course of the relations, Yahim said Mary Jane pulled him off the other woman by his genitals and threw him to the floor.
Wow, man.
During a physical
confrontation. How do you even do that?
A physical confrontation that followed, Yahim said he kicked Mary Jane, causing her to fall. Mary Jane and Yahim then both got dressed and left the room. Mary Jane, cops said, grabbed a bottle of liquor and smashed it on the ground outside of the hotel and then sought to call 911. Yahim responded by taking her phone and leaving the area. Mary Jane reported suffering injuries to her forehead, pinky finger, and pinky toe during the scrum.
My pinky!
The report does not address whether Yahim was injured by the genital yanking. No charges were filed against either Mary Jane or Yahim, and everyone left on their own recognizance.
I think go ahead, Kathy.
No, I think this happens more than we would ever know.
Oh, you mean people yanked up by their genitals and thrown against the wall?
There's when you're a swinger, there's rules that need to be followed, and if you don't follow them, it's although seems odd to us,
yeah,
is not to them.
Maybe, yep. In fact, it's more advanced, mm-hmm. And we just don't realize it.
Here's another story. Four neo-Nazi diehards are facing jail for being active members of a banned terrorist group called National Action. Alice Cutter and her former partner, Mark Jones, appeared at Birmingham Court in England, along with Gary Jack and Connor Scother. Now, I bring this up for a particular reason. The extreme right-wing group whose members have been described as diehards was banned after a series of rallies and incidents. And here's why I bring it up. Cutter, a former Miss Hitler beauty pageant contestant.
Man.
and Jones.
Do they still have that in Atlantic City?
As well as Jack and Scothern were all convicted of having membership of a terrorist group. The 23-year-old girl who entered the beauty contest as Miss Buchenwald, a reference to the Second World War concentration camp, has denied being a member despite attending the group's rallies in which banners reading Hitler was white right were raised and the fact that she was in the Miss Hitler beauty contest.
Wow.
Jurors were also shown messages in which she joked about gassing synagogues and using Jews' heads as football.
What was her talent during the show, Preston?
Oh, Steve, I didn't see that part of it. I wish I knew. But
and now I'll show you how to pack a bag.
The four will be sentenced on Tuesday.
Miss Buchenwald.
An unconscious Canadian man was discovered in the Detroit River with 265 pounds of suspected marijuana connected to him with a tow strap.
265 pounds?
Yeah, and he was unconscious when they found him. The capture by Border Patrol agents occurred early on June 5th near a small island known as Caloran Island. It's the latest twist in the case that began when Glenn Mousseau was arrested while driving a U-Haul truck with $97,000. Mousseau previously told authorities that he had used a submersible to ferry drugs and cash between Michigan and Ontario. He had agreed to stay at a hotel while the investigation continued, but federal agents said that he disappeared on May 22nd, leaving behind five phones, a laptop, and a suit used by divers.
Those like personal subs, they're used quite a lot, and sometimes they'll build their own, which doesn't always work out well.
He reemerged on June 5th when Border Patrol agents pursuing a boat discovered him in the river with packages of marijuana tethered to him.
I can explain.
Next court date is coming up next week. And then one last story. You might recall when Elon Musk released special edition flamethrowers through his Boring Company back in 2018.
I do. I wanted one.
Well, now one has been seized by Massachusetts police. Springfield police said they found a weapon during a traffic stop early Sunday morning. They say that the car was pulled over after they saw a passenger standing up and recording video through the sunroof and noticed that the vehicle didn't have an up-to-date inspection sticker. They also saw what appeared to be a firearm under the front passenger seat. But upon closer inspections, they saw that it was a flamethrower that the driver said belonged to him. They say they also found three canisters of fuel and charged the owner with carrying a dangerous weapon with an active warrant and possession of an infernal machine, by the way, is what they call
it. Yeah, it's probably a good classification.
And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, Nick, what are we hearing on our texts of people doing to celebrate Delco Day?
Well, they're not kind, Preston.
Oh, they're not?
No, but there are some good suggestions here.
All right, shall I read through some of these? Yeah. Let's see. Verbally attack a Mets fan, a Cowboys fan, and a Penguins fan. The Delco trifecta. You can shave your pubes and glue them to your neighbor's head for Delco Day.
That's dumb. That is probably written by a Bucksco resident.
Fight a bear to celebrate.
I like that.
By the way, that bear is in Chad's Ford.
Yeah, we were talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Earlier it was in Upper Chi. Yeah. So they saw it in Chad's Ford now?
Yeah, they had a live video. I think it was Fox was over it.
Here we go. It says, go to Delaware Avenue and Delaware to remind you that they're not the same thing. Okay. Put on your best pair of jorts, your finest wife beater, and drink a beer in for a front yard above ground pool. Let's see.
This one came in a lot.
Eat a shorty from a Wawa over the trash can.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
That's definitely a thing. Yeah, but it's not a Delco. It's not only in Delco. Somebody actually sent me a picture of a couple of guys that were, I don't even know which county they were in. They weren't in Delco, but they were hanging out by the trash can. One guy actually had a foldable chair. He sat next to the trash can.
That's where they had lunch?
Yeah.
Why over a trash can?
So the garbage falls into the trash, Preston.
Yeah, right? But, I mean, trash, I don't want to eat around a trash can. Trash cans generally smell pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. But you can block that.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. let's see. Got to get some 40s and go to the trestles down the creek and go swimming.
Yeah.
The trestle, like train trestle?
So there's a good trestle, creek swimming experience, Swarthmore College. You can also maybe go to the trestle by Smedley Park. My friend fell off of that trestle.
Yeah, that was the trestle you talked about, right? Yeah. Like it was up higher than he had imagined.
Well, he thought he was stepping on something, and it wasn't a step, and he fell. Dude, listen, he could have died and possibly should have died, but he didn't.
Here's one that says 610 Delco Day. Celebrate by talking about what Catholic school you've gone to, just like every other day in their lives.
And why, then, man? I mean, days at OLPH are pretty great.
And then
I was a field day champion at OLPH, man.
You were the field day champion at OLPH?
Yeah. I will periodically just take a picture of my trophy and I'll send it to all my classmates and go,
oh my God,
undefeated.
Were you, in fact, at some point defeated? You had to be.
No, dude. I won every field
year?
Day. Yeah, man.
Every year.
Take that, Brian and Barry and Brett and Jason and H and Reggie. All you clowns. I beat all you clowns.
And so,
yes.
How many years in a row?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
That 1 year, though.
That 1 year.
Undefeated.
Eighth grade year, the most important year.
For that one time.
The final year.
I was going to say, you would have had loads of trophies.
Yeah, I only have the one, though, okay, from 1989.
Okay.
So it actually only happened 1 year.
No, it's the only one that made it. All the other ones got tossed.
Right. There's some disagreement.
Yeah, there was
the judges.
There's no disagreement.
There was
I need those guys to show
me. Bribery.
I need them to show me their evidence.
All right, here's the last text. It says, Delco 610 day activity. Talk crap about Chester County despite never traveling outside of Delco.
Talk crap on Delco. I mean, Chesco?
It might be Bucks County.
It might be Bucks County.
I think that's what it is. Hang on. Here's a phone call. This might actually be a legit thing to do. I'm going to go to Tom. Hey, Tom.
Yo, how you guys doing today?
Good, bud. Do you live in Delaware County?
I'm glad I'm in South Philly. My wife's from Delaware County, Glen Olden.
All right, okay. So what should somebody do for 610 Delco Day?
You get a hot sausage from Last Stand and go down the front and get a case of beer and get drunk.
There you go.
Yeah.
Does that seem viable, Case?
No. The last stand closed a few years back.
In fact, that emotionally devastated you.
What parish? Oh, his wife's gone. I wanted to know if she went to St. Gabe's or not.
What parish?
Sorry.
I really would like to get to the previous owners of the Last Stand, get their special recipe for their chili sauce. I need to open that place again. I need a Last Stand hot dog.
Terrible. We also need something to...
It became his mission. Yes. Retaking the Last Stand from Touchstone Pictures. Hi, my name is Kathy Romano, and I think you're an idiot.
My counseling is much different.
I think there needs to be some sort of public distinction, a marker of sorts, that designates Casey as a proud Delaware County resident. And all he's done...
Please tell me that...
...to promote the goodness of Delaware County over the years. You've been doing it for over 20 years.
He did receive an award. He did receive an award for that. Did you not, Casey?
I did.
Yes, you received
an award. What was it?
What was it or when was it?
What was it?
I don't know, some award. It was a field day champion of 1989.
No, you actually received an award, maybe from the Delco Tourism Board or something like that.
I vaguely remember. Delco Tourism Board?
For promoting Delco, and you received that award. But let me ask you, in the wiki page...
I'm not on Wikipedia.
Oh,
I'm not like
that is annoying.
I'm not a linkable name on Wikipedia.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I looked up who the heck were we talking to? We asked them if they were on their high school's.
It was the kid with the big mouth, Phil, the other day.
Oh, the kid with the big mouth, right, yeah. Exactly. So I looked up mine because I'm not on mine either. But there's way too many famous people that graduated from Pensbury.
So
like, there's
lost.
No way I'm making it on.
Yeah.
There.
Oh, yes. There's like legit.
Yeah, there's legit famous people.
Yeah.
That's where you always go to a bad school.
End up in there. No Wikipedia page.
Chris, are you on your high school Wikipedia?
I don't think so. No, there's been professional baseball players and the chick Tristan from The Bachelor.
She
went to Parkway Central.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. What about you, Comac? I know Bob Costas, right?
That's it. Yeah, I'm not on it. Yeah.
I thought you guys were all on it.
Nope.
Most notable, no?
I don't know. I haven't looked at mine, and I don't think I've ever looked at mine. You know what? I'll look that up in the commercial break here and find out.
Let me know.
But I think other than just an award, I think there should be a plaque or a public stone or bench or something like that that commemorates Casey Boyd.
A 900-foot Casey statue.
For
his hands out.
Well, I got to figure out, where would it go? Would it go in Rutledge or where?
I'd put it right where the original Wawa was.
Among the seven streets of Rutledge?
Yeah.
How many streets in Rutledge?
Like nine.
Okay.
But, dude, the Wawa now, Steve, is a bank.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
They built a new Wawa at the corner of 420 and,
right.
and McDade Boulevard. And then the old Wawa, the first Wawa, is now a bank.
Crazy. So
is this the O'Hara alumni, Nick?
Yeah. All right, Casey, you're robbed.
I am. I mean, Tim Donaghy's probably on there, isn't he?
He is.
Ugh.
Who's Mark?
Yeah, he was an ex-NBA referee.
Yeah.
Who's this guy?
Mark Makovich? All right, so he's a musician and a singer, and he was in a band with my buddy Leo, a band called The Spies.
But they have notable alumni, and they've broken it down to three categories: sports, entertainment, and military government, and... You should be in the entertainment.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, there's only one name in the entertainment. That's Mark Makovich, stage, film, and television actor.
Oh, knock it off.
Yeah, I you know, listen, there's nothing. I'm not going to trash Mark Makovich.
No, but,
no.
He was like the play guy after I left. Like every single year, there was like different generations.
What's he doing now?
I don't know, but I know he went out to L.A. I knew he was in a band with my buddy Leo. And Leo grew up two doors down from me, and they had a song that was actually featured on an ABC TV show, and that was like the biggest that.
See, I think it's not regional. Like if you're just regional, at least that's what I noticed.
That's a crock of crap.
I was looking at.
It's Wikipedia.
Yeah,
we can put that on there.
Yeah, we sure as hell can.
Have you guys ever entered anything in Wikipedia? I've never done that.
Nope.
No.
I put on false information purposely one time, but just as a joke, just to see if it'd take, and it did. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that does happen. So.
Yeah, but if there's room for this Mark guy, there's room for Casey Foster.
I agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
My God.
God bless us, everyone.
Okay, and I'm sorry. I was thinking O'Hara and... Rob McElhenney did not go to O'Hara, but he is the Delco guy.
All right. Okay, well, happy Delco Day. 6/10 is celebrate in your own way.
To today. Those celebrating.
Yes, to those celebrating.
The nine
those who feel the need to claim 6/10 as their day. We're going to break. We're going to come back in a second. Kathy, we got to get a winner for secret text word, so please give me a number, caller.
I just looked over at a tape measure, and it said 16 feet, so I'm going with 16.
That's perfect. Ah. 215-263-WMMR, call number 16. Let's see if you know the secret text, or we'll be right back.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We had asked for call number 16 for the secret text word, and I want to go to that caller and see if we can give away this prize. And it is Nick that we have on the line. Hey, Nick, how you doing? Nick, I need to know the word. What is it?
Cop.
Yeah, cop. You are correct, my man. I want you to hang on, Nick, because for you, we have a $50 Uber Eats gift card courtesy of FX on Hulu. Free with every Hulu subscription, FX on Hulu is now streaming. And we are also going to give that same $50 Uber Eats gift card to Michael Cork, who is from Broomall, PA in
Delco.
All right, so we're going to set you up. Congratulations, my man. All right, and it's time to move on to other prizes. Nick, I did not look at your email that you sent over, so I will trust you to ask a lesson question for today, and we are going to give away a $50 Carrabba's Italian Grill dining gift card. What's the question?
Most entertainment shows should just read the headlines and then go play which game for 20 minutes. If you're an entertainment show, you should just read the headlines and then go play which game for 20 minutes.
All right. 215-263-WMMR. Man, for the life of me, I don't remember that.
This was right at the beginning, I think. Halfway through the entertainment break.
Let's see if you know the answer to this. If you're in entertainment news, then you should just hang it up and play this game for 20 minutes. What game? 215-263-WMMR. We'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning it's brought to you by Horizon Services. You can book Horizon Services air conditioner tune-up now for just $59 and get up to a pound of refrigerant for free. Visit horizonservices.com. What's going on, Steve?
Well, friends say Kendall Jenner... There we go. The rumors, I should start with. The rumors around Kendall Jenner and NBA star Devin Booker still swirling around the model and the 23-year-old Phoenix Sun star. After the two were seen dining out at Nobu in Malibu, friends say Kendall loves the well-endowed Booker because the two can still have sex while remaining 6 feet apart.
Oh, my God.
Chris Cuomo, we talked about this earlier, caught in the buff when his wife, Christina, was broadcasting a yoga session on Instagram Live. Ironically, this comes just 1 week after Lynn Greenfield was conducting a Skype seminar, only to accidentally reveal her husband, Wolf Blitzer, sodomizing an alpaca.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Leonardo DiCaprio and Camilla Maroney are still going strong despite the coronavirus, as both were seen purchasing takeout pizza while wearing protective masks. Maroney told a photographer DiCaprio is even sexier with the mask because she forgets he's older than her father.
Oh, my God.
It's your Hollywood trash.
All right, let's see if somebody knows the answer to this question. If you're an entertainment reporter, you should just give up and go play this for 20 minutes. I'm going to go to John. Hey, John, how you doing?
Good. We're all living in a yellow quarantine.
Yes, we are, sir. And what is the game that we need you to give us for the answer?
Hacky sack.
Hacky sack. Hang on, John. For you, we have a $50 Carrabba's Italian Grill dining card. Carrabba's Italian Grill is open, serving the community with your favorite made-from-scratch Italian dishes.
They're good.
Through carside, carryout, delivery, and catering. You can order online at Carrabba's.com. All right, we got music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right. Brought to you by Cinch, a propane tank home delivery service that brings propane right to your doorstep. And you can place your order now at cinch.com. That's C-Y-N-C-H.com. All right. As just when you thought all the cancellations had come in, Lollapalooza 2020 has been canceled due to coronavirus pandemic. The annual event, which was set to take place July 30th through August 2nd, is held at Chicago's Grant Park and typically draws about 100,000 people each year. The organizers wrote, "We wish we could bring Lollapalooza to Grant Park again this year, but we understand why things can't move forward as planned. The health and safety of our fans, artists, partners, staff, and community is always our highest priority." They said they will host a virtual live stream festival during the same weekend that will feature performances from around the city and beyond, epic archival sets from Chicago, and the festival's six international editions, never-before-seen footage from the 1990s, and much more. Full schedule will be released this month, by the way. Casey, can you give this to Marissa and see if she can grab audio of that?
Yes.
There's a story coming up, and I forgot to get that to Marissa. There might be some audio to play. We'll find out in a moment. By the way, Lollapalooza is perhaps the last of the big American summer festivals to finally alter its plans due to the outbreak. An official lineup, usually unveiled in late March, was never announced, with organizers saying at the time that they would continue to consult with local officials and update fans as soon as possible. Pearl Jam's groundbreaking 1998 video for the song Do the Evolution is the subject of a new book called Pearl Jam Art of Do the Evolution. The 200-page full-color hardcover reveals the full story behind the creation of the clip, which was all animated in Pearl Jam's first music video in 6 years. Nick, you being the biggest Pearl Jam fan here in the room, when that came out, remember they were announcing this video was coming out, and I remember seeing it. Me personally, I was disappointed because it was all animated.
Oh, really?
I wanted to see the band.
Yeah, I got you. Video. Yeah, I could see that.
Not that it wasn't a cool video.
I like the Todd McFarlane style. It was new, and you're right, it was different. It was certainly different than videos that were being promoted at the time, but Pearl Jam tends to do that type of thing. But I saw a really cool breakdown, frame by frame, of this video and this song and how it holds up. And it's pretty interesting to see how prescient the video was and seeing where things were going, seeing where technology was going, and it holds up really well. And the animation is awesome.
As Nick was saying, it was directed by comics legend and Spawn creator Todd McFarlane, along with Batman the Animated Series animator Kevin Altieri. The Grammy Award-nominated video told a graphic and dark history of the world in four gripping minutes. and it's widely considered one of the best music videos of all time. The new book will include animation cells from the video, never-before-seen storyboards and designs, and step-by-step guide through the process of bringing the band's vision to life. Pearl Jam, Art of the Do the Evolution of Do the Evolution, is due out on October 6th and currently available for pre-order via online bookseller and comic book specialty retailers.
We were talking last week about 90s life hacks, and this was a video that my brother downloaded onto his computer, and it was one of those things where like he hit the download button at 9 p.m. and then we, like, mid-morning the next day, we're like, yes, we can watch the whole thing now.
Do you consider it the greatest music video?
Well, I don't know of all time, but it's I really love it, and I really like how it holds up, and I like the song a lot too. So yeah, I mean, it meets all the criteria, I guess.
Cool.
I think Thriller is probably the greatest video of all time, though.
I mean, it's the most. You know, one of my favorite collections is one that Dire Straits did for the album Making Movies, and they had the Skate Away, Romeo and Juliet, and Tunnel of Love.
Yeah,
and they did it, and it was the same director, and it was a 3-song arc, and it's done in a super cool way, minimalistic set, and it's just great.
Now, I respectfully disagree with all you guys, because I think Rock Me Tonight is probably hands down the greatest rock video of all time.
Unbelievable.
Well, there's so many, it's hard to forget the classics like that.
Yeah.
Avenged Sevenfold bassist Johnny Christ confirmed in a new interview at Knotfest.com, the California-based band has been working on the follow-up to his 2016 album, Stage. He said, "We've been working for a long time now on new material. I can't verify how far in we are or anything like that. And it's not even me trying to be secretive or anything. There's just so much going on in the world right now for me to get people's hopes up. And then something has to switch last minute. It would be very irresponsible if I gave any kind of information of where we are in the process."
Well said, Mr. Christ.
Christ would not confirm how many songs the band has written when pressed, insisting, Their stuff. I don't want to divulge that.
I'm pretty well up to speed on my biblical lore, but was Christ's name, first name, actually Johnny, and I was unaware of that?
No, it was Jesus.
Jesus
Henry Christ.
There's too many moving parts in the world right now, and I don't want to mess with anybody's hopes and dreams, he says.
All right, man, we appreciate that.
Thanks, bro.
Hopes and dreams. And then, finally, a YouTuber and parody musician named Kurt Connor has given the world a new, quote, a new Metallica song with lyrics written entirely by an artificial intelligence bot.
Oh, these are interesting sometimes.
I thought this was kind of interesting. Yes, Connor, under his Funk Turkey pseudonym, comprised Deliverance Rides. That's what it's called. With the help of lyrics.rip. A site that lets you generate lyrics from any artist in its database based on existing lyrics. It then ran the words through a Markov chain, a computer model for a certain type of probability, which yielded Deliverance Rise. Connor, who wrote the music, played all the instruments, sang the vocals, and recorded the whole thing in his kitchen. He's done the same thing in recent months for Nickelback, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and AC/DC. Those songs were titled Nobody Died Every Single Day, Great Balls, and Tool Shed. But this one spit out Deliverance Rides.
Have you heard it?
Nope. That's why I have Marissa grab the audio. So let's check this out. It's him performing it, but the machine
wrote
the lyrics.
Beaten down and destroy. Dead souls shall never you betray. Hell is a long way for you. But there's no longer chance. Understood, I'm insane. Yes, you'll never know. Never me, so let it be. Obey your eyes. Death, deliverance, rights. Here, hear you.
I love the hook.
Oh, I love the end there, too.
Yeah, yo.
Rights, death, deliverance, rights. Here, hear you.
Yeah, yo.
Wow.
So the lyrics are, bound by minutes seem like hours, killing scores with the flame. Behind the pages, turn the door, die as you live in vanity.
It doesn't rhyme.
It doesn't know how to rhyme, yeah.
Okay.
Curses rest on our brains. No, there's an evil feeling in vain. I can't believe I stand alone, beast under wicked sky.
This would all be very viable in a Metallica song.
I'm the sun, I'm insane. Yes, she'll never love. Never me, so let it be. Obey your eyes. Death, deliverance rides. Oh, yeah, yeah.
No.
I love it.
And that is what I have in music news. We're taking a break. We're coming back in a minute, and we will get the letter of the day and check in with Pierre. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's a tumultuous time, yet essential employees go to work day and night to make our lives better, including the healthcare pros, delivery and SEPTA drivers, grocery, pharmacy, sanitation, and janitorial workers. And we thank our police, EMTs, and firefighters. WMMR is here for you, too. Friendly, familiar voices playing everything that rocks. Live, local hosts around the clock. So whenever you need a break from cable news for taking a walk or just getting outside or just to keep your workday moving, we are here for you on your radio, smart speaker, and the MMR app. Where you won't find us is on your credit card bill. We're in this together, and we wouldn't have it any other way. 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
We're wrapping up our program for today. Very enjoyable on this Wednesday. Lots of cool things that we like to experience with you on Wednesdays. Secret text word, our friends from Fox Good Day going on there. And with that, we also added in another school that was chosen for coolest teacher. And you get to vote. And it's Pensauken High School in Pensauken Township, New Jersey. And all you have to do is text word teacher to 39333. And we're going to send you this voting link. And yeah, then you vote, and then tomorrow we will award. And then tomorrow we draw our last one, then we're done. We're done for the year.
So this system was sort of a byproduct of everything that's going on and the way to get the word out. And I think it's worked really well, you know, the voting system.
Just text the teacher. Yeah. Marissa came up with it, so she's a genius in that department. And thank you to Mary Lou Henner.
Yay!
Our guest is, she's so awesome, and she is a sweetheart, and she loved her time here when she visited us a few years ago, and remembers so cool. Every bit of it, course. So
she remembered what she was wearing.
Yeah, and she,
she did.
She has a, not quite photographic, but close to photographic memory. It's called something else. I forgot. We had it in our prep, and I forgot the technical name for it, but she can remember very specific details. You give her a date. You can say, you know, May 2nd, 1976.
Wow.
And she'll tell you what happened.
That's just
the weather, everything. Yeah. Wow. The whole deal.
So she's involved with the Bucks County Playhouse's virtual variety show on Sunday, and she's going to be talking about appearing in the original production of Grease, and that was even pre-Broadway in Chicago. And it'll be seen on Facebook Live and at www.bcptheater.org, and we have information about that on PrestonSteve.com. It's called Hyperthymesia, Total Recall Memory. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Hyperphynesia.
Phynesia.
Yeah. Hyperdibebo.
You remembered it well.
I haven't been gifted with that.
No?
No. Not exactly.
I think you are mistaken.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I didn't sleep well last night. And
could hardly tell.
No, I know. I look like just the most put-together thing you've ever seen. But
fresh as a daisy.
Well, it's occurred to me I don't have a Sleep Number bed like you guys. But I was thinking, could I maybe hang out in your hall and sleep in your hall? It just occurred to me that
it's really comfortable.
Well, I've heard that. I read it on Facebook and Twitter this morning and Instagram. If you need a place to crash, if you're kind of down on your luck, ask Presbo.
I stepped right on him, fell on him.
Well, you actually stepped on him?
I stepped on him. He didn't, it's my son, if you missed the story. He didn't wake, he didn't budge, he didn't move. Slept right on through it.
I used to occasionally get home late at night, and we had a German Shepherd for a while who had an injured leg, and he had to stay in the back porch. So I would lay down with him and often fall asleep, and my dad was a lawyer, and he'd be leaving for work and goes, "What the hell were you drinking?" And I go, "No, I'm just laying with the dog, Jeremy."
You remind me of your mother.
Very good, sir. All right, well, before we see what's going on in your world, how about the letter of the day?
Thinking that.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
C as in coffee.
All right, and we just have two more to go after that, and we have a $250 Meineke gift card for the location in the Mayfair section of Northeast Philly. They're offering 25% off to any customer who's had their catalytic converter stolen or cut off of their vehicle. They helped out local favorite Nick's Roast Beef during the pandemic, and they want to make the same offer to all Philadelphians. Meineke and Mayfair want you to know that they're here for you during this rough time and will help in any way they can. That's Meineke, 6140 Frankfort Avenue. What's planned on your show today, sir?
We're going to do Tom Petty. We're going to do Incubus. We're going to do the Struts for Workforce Blocks. And I think yesterday was the anniversary of the release of Some Girls. And I found a copy I have from my old radio station in San Francisco this morning, coincidentally. So I'm going to play something on vinyl from the Some Girls album.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's the, I missed. Who did Some Girls album?
Rolling Stones.
Stones. Okay.
So it's got Shattered. That's got Miss You. Oh, wow. That's got Faraway Eyes. Respectable. It's just one great song after
it's terrible that I don't know that that's the name of that album.
I mean, I don't know that I could name every Rush album.
Okay.
It's got the song Some Girls, which is unplayable. The station I came from actually played it. It had little markings next to it. You could play it between 6 p.m. and 2 a.m. and like 6 a.m.
That's great. Like that. Yeah, they used to do that. They would have I remember years ago, the there's like a card catalog.
Right.
And they were all color coded, and you know, that's how they day parted things.
Yeah, it was interesting. So there you go.
All right, cool, man. Thank you, Pierre. And speaking of thank yous, I'm going to hand out a couple of more of those. I want to thank our sponsors. Program today has been brought to you by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, and also HERS, the official chip of taking your summer to the next level. And finally, Auto Lenders, a smarter way to buy a car. Tomorrow will be Thursday, which is wonderful because that's almost Friday. And we'll have our buddy Jim Florentine on the program.
Yeah.
Check in with him and see how things are going. That's it. We are done. Rage on. And have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow night. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Oh, yeah.
Next message.
Can't wait. Get in the pool, me and the wife in the deep end, and the kids down in the Shiloh end.
Next message.
Look, you it might not take you 18 maneuvers to turn around to the gas station if you would put the phone down and drive with two hands. And then maybe put the phone down and put the gas in your car. I've never wished anyone would spontaneously combust like I wish you would right now.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.